Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday morning from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. Big weekend of news to talk about. I don't know how we're going to get into all of it, but we're going to do our best. Darn it. We got wars or partway wars or warlike activity taking place, of course, all over the world. And a lot of stories that were a very big deal on Friday have completely, you know, fallen off the docket. But we'll remind you of the incredible scandals like Pete Hegseth wearing a red, white, and blue tie to meet with Zelensky. Yet another dog whistle that he works for Russia. Yes, that is how insane the left has become. And that's going to be the general theme of today's show. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 20th of October, 2025. Witkoff and Kushner meet with Netanyahu in Israel as clashes test Trump's Gaza peace deal. That's one way of putting it, I guess. We'll get into what's going on in Gaza right now. But Israel has dropped something like 45 tons of ammunition on Gaza as of Sunday. The reasoning being that they claimed they were attacked by an anti-tank missile, when in fact, according to everybody who knows as much, knows that they were aware early on that it wasn't a anti-tank missile. It was unexploded ordnance that the tank ran over, basically exploded themselves, then used that as an excuse to bomb the hell out of a bunch of refugees. But they say the ceasefire deal is still holding. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Meanwhile, this morning, a lot of websites were knocked offline as Amazon Web Services went down, taking Ring security system and hundreds of other sites with it. An outage of Amazon Web Services on Monday morning knocked out many different online services such as Zoom, Roblox, Ring Security Systems, and others. The e-commerce giant, which has its own online services arm, provides many remote computing services to governments around the world, as well as many other different companies. Of course, this is very worrying, not just because AWS is a, you know, military contractor and handles a bunch of our sensitive information, and this could be, you know, one part of a much larger state-sponsored cyber attack. But also because it highlights the fragility of our highly connected world. Meanwhile, and we'll cover this quite a bit today, the No Kings rallies took place across the country over the weekend. No Kings protesters are violent radicals who want to kill conservatives, is the headline at Infowars.com. And it was a very eclectic mix, you could say. Half of it was just out-of-touch, zombied-out boomers doing weird choreographed dances for no one in particular. And then the other half were foaming at the mouth communists outwardly and openly begging for political violence. So we'll get into that bizarre dichotomy that defines the Democratic Party at this point. But it didn't work. Trump is, in fact, still our king. So well done, idiots. Meanwhile, very much evidence and gag order that could impact thousands in Robinson case. A weird way of phrasing this from Fox 13 now. But essentially, a gigantic gag order has been placed off of onto everybody involved in the court case against the alleged assassin of Charlie Kirk. The man accused of assassinating Charlie Kirk had a court appearance on Monday where lawyers discussed voluminous, I don't know why I can't pronounce that word, amounts of evidence, thousands of potential witnesses, and the judge pledged to ensure a fair trial. One of the ways he did that was by placing a de facto gag order over anybody even remotely involved. Of course, that doesn't count for anybody who's not involved because this is America, and we really shouldn't even have gag orders at all. But we'll look into that, as well as another tranche of very suspicious information coming out about the Charlie Kirk assassination from those still investigating it. That is not the FBI, but, you know, the regular journalists, citizen journalists who are investigating this stuff. Meanwhile, also over the weekend, a patrol car hit by shrapnel during Marine Corps live fire demo at celebration attended by J.D. Vance. This is an interesting event where a large section of I-90, I think, was shut down for an extended period of time, but it turns out just to be a big accident. And finally, we have this. Secret Service discovers hunting stand with direct line of sight to Trump's Air Force One exit in Florida. Another assassination attempt? It certainly seems like that. We'll get into that on the other side. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today to get Irish Sea Moss gummies. Buy one, get one 50% off, thealexjonesstore.com. And we'll be right back.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I am your host, Harrison Smith. We made it. We made it, folks. We made it through the weekend of the No Kings rally. And God bless them, we don't have a king. They did it. They succeeded. A lot to say about this. It was obviously a very big event. I believe it was bigger than the June No Kings rally, but potentially smaller than the 2017 Women's March. And there's some controversy, there's some confusion over whether some of the images shared, especially in places like Boston, were shots of what was happening that day during No Kings rally or whether it was a reused piece of footage from the 2017's Women's March. And I've heard conflicting things about this. Grok, or rather the community notes section on X, says that it was from 2017, but then other people are contradicting that. I think BBC investigated this, which in the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. What it points out is that, yeah, there have been these big rallies ever since Trump got into office. They achieve nothing. And at this point, all of the young people have realized that it achieves nothing and don't even participate. So mostly what you're left with across the country It was a mix. Mostly it was boomers. Mostly it was old white boomers. And there were some funny images I saw of places in like Birmingham, Alabama. There's a picture. It's like, look how many people showed up in Birmingham, Alabama of all places. So other people commenting like, I've never seen a picture of Birmingham, Alabama that has nothing but white people in it. That's amazing. That really is amazing. Of course, other people pointing out that that's because if you're talking about boomers in America, it was mostly white because when they were coming up, this was a white country. That's not the case anymore. I have a lot of videos to just embarrass and humiliate these people, but for the most part, it was just out of touch sort of boom. It was the last generation of people that still believe everything they see on TV. This was their last gasp, I suppose, of just clawing for relevance, but it's really just sad. It really is just kind of pathetic and sad. There are stories going around of, you know, people saying, you know, the grandmother saying, I had to miss my granddaughter's recital to march for this, but this is more important. Like, lady, just what do you think is happening? Just what does anybody think is going on around here? It would be amazing. Wouldn't it be just fantastic if all these people believed anything that they said? Wouldn't it be great if they all genuinely had a belief in the founding fathers and what America is and actually appreciated liberty and fought against tyranny? Can you imagine what this country would be like if they weren't just useful idiots lying to us, which is mostly what they did, what they do, and just it's continuous. We can go to some videos of the actual march. But before we do that, I think I want to go to a video of Scott Adams of Dilbert fame. He had a very funny way of reframing everything that happened over the weekend. I'm not sure I didn't. Let's go to clip number 9 here. This is Scott Adams, the author of Dilbert, the Dilbert comics, explaining the strange nature of this anti-Trump rally. Let's watch.
If you have a No Kings rally in 2,700 places with 7 million protesters and the so-called fascist government in charge, the only response to it is 2 insulting memes. That was it. that the entire pushback to 7 million people demanding that the Constitution be followed was, oh, here's a funny meme. Nothing else. Because you know where you can't have 7 million people running around protesting no kings? Anywhere there's a king. If you had a king, you'd not be doing that. That's for sure. You wouldn't be doing any of that. So, and then it got funnier because apparently some decision was made, and I don't know by whom or why, to hand out lots of American flags. Now, what do you think when you see a big crowd of people with American flags? Don't you think they're Republicans? So somehow it was 100% peaceful, which I compliment them on, 100% peaceful. And they were carrying American flags and they were promoting constitutional rights. Am I wrong that they just held a Republican rally? Flag, peaceful, obey the Constitution. It's a MAGA, it was a MAGA event, right? And especially because it was senior citizens. The fact that people got paid for organizing this is hilarious because what exactly did they get paid for? To promote the virtues of the other side? Have you heard of any Republican who was put out or somehow offended or somehow had a big problem with the no kings thing? I have not heard of one Republican who had any problem with it at all or even cared if it happened. I looked at it and I thought, oh, looks like people are getting together over this whole support the Constitution and wave the American flag thing. Maybe that's a good sign. So I don't know what they thought they would accomplish, but it definitely did not remove, it didn't remove Trump from office, if that's what they're hoping for.
All right, so that's Scott Adams, Coffee with Scott Adams. Kind of a brilliant reframing of it. And it's true. I mean, if these people believed anything that they said, it would be a MAGA rally. They don't actually believe this. You know, we already have a No Kings Day. It's July 4th, 1776. It was, you know, a really successful revolution pulled off against a person, not because he was king, but because he was a tyrannical king that was destroying their country. A lot of it had to do with illegal immigration as well, ironically enough. See, they defeated the king, and then you people want to tear down their statues and destroy their life's work and eliminate the country that they founded. So it's a little bit inconsistent, a little bit incoherent to the messaging from the No Kings or the No Tyrants rallies, because these weren't just in America. They happened all over the world, only in places that actually had kings. They didn't call it the No King rally. They called it No Tyrants rally in places like Canada, because they are, in fact, still ruled by a king and aren't allowed to protest that. So, again, bit ironic. These people are brain dead. And that really is the only way to say it. It's the only way to explain it. Now, again, we're dealing with a dichotomy here. The Democratic base at this point, the people who still think that what they're doing is righteous, they're standing up against Trump, you only have two really types of people. You have the violent communistic radicals who just want to overthrow the system and know exactly what they're doing and are willing to lie to achieve their ends. And they're violent and they're insane and they, you know, will pretend to respect the founding fathers if it's useful in the moment, but they don't mean anything. And then there's the much larger percentage of the Democratic Party, which are just out of touch boomers that are, you know, constantly trying to reach that dopamine high they got, you know, marching in the 60s against, you know, actual government tyranny and oppression when it existed here. They're just desperate to relive their glory days and just have genuinely no idea what the hell's going on with anything ever. And one of these people talked to our friend Savannah Hernandez, clip number 8 here. This is Savannah versus a boomer trying desperately to reason with him, but it is a fool's errand. Let's watch.
So this guy is so hateful and angry, he can't even tell me any of the racist things that Charlie is saying. So okay, well then walk away from me. All you have to do is walk away. So this gentleman found out that I worked at Turning Point USA and decided to come up to me and say that Charlie was a racist and a fascist.
This is entirely
I was having
bullshit.
A good conversation. So you found out that I work for Turning Point, and you said you can't stand here and talk with me because why?
Because Charlie Kirk was a racist, bigot, scum.
Do you think he deserved to get shot in the neck?
No, I don't think he deserved to die.
But do you see how that type of rhetoric has led to people in the United States getting killed?
His rhetoric has ruined thousands of lives.
Can I ask what rhetoric is at the forefront for you that was the most hateful?
I hate his racism. He was an anti-Semite. He accused Jews of funding replacement theory in America. This is insane.
So regarding the racism, I myself am a Hispanic Asian woman.
Okay.
He hired me on to, you know, represent his organization.
God bless. Everybody needs a token.
Okay, so I'm a token.
Well, Charlie was just brutally murdered in front of the United States, and I think it's a big problem that we can't even have a conversation.
That's irrelevant.
It doesn't have anything to do with his politics.
Or our discussion.
It had everything to do with his politics because people said that he was a fascist. Like, there's a sign behind you saying the fascist Trump regime. Who's out here calling people fascists in the street? Is it the right wing? Or is it the left wing that's out here labeling everybody the upset?
Who's acting like a fascist?
The left wing, quite frankly.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't think we have anything more to discuss.
Okay, well,
I can't convince you. You're not going to convince me. The only thing else I have to say.
Why can't we have a conversation? I was having a great conversation with him, and then you decided that Charlie was a racist, and you wanted to.
He's a racist by his own words. His own words. His own words were.
What is the most racist thing that he said? Please give me the quote. If you were this angry, you should be able to give me the quote. Because I can give you 10 quotes right now from left-wingers who stated that right-wingers deserve to die. And we should fear getting shot every single time we go out after Charlie.
I'm not responsible for every person out there, but you're a member. You are a member.
What did Charlie say that was so racist that made you this upset? Please tell me, because you're out here telling people that he's a problem.
He's
not you, him.
He doesn't even know, and this is the exact problem. You are so hateful.
If you would be quiet for
regarding you specifically, you are now coming up to me. You've been extremely aggressive. And like I said, I'm standing here and I was having a conversation with this gentleman
right
here.
Go ahead.
And now you're getting so angry. Okay, so y'all, I'm at the No Kings protest here, and I was standing here. I'm wearing my press badge, and these older gentlemen came up to me and stated, you know, what's Turning Point USA? Basically asking me about Charlie. This guy right here ends up going, I can't speak to you because Charlie was a racist and a fascist. I then immediately start asking him, like, hey, do you think that means he deserved to be shot? And what exactly did he say that was so racist that made you this angry? He then went on to say that Charlie is an anti-Semite. And now I had a bunch of older people surrounding me and stating that, yeah, I'm a liar now.
Just amazing stuff. Almost, you know, a picture-perfect example of what many people, you know, ran into at the No Kings protest. An old boomer making very inflammatory statements that he can't back up, can't explain. When asked to explain it, when asked what the hell he's talking about, he just gets angry and starts actually making, you know, offensive racial statements at the non-white woman that he's talking to. And it's just, they just fall apart. They completely fall apart. And the whole thing is genuinely pathetic beyond description. And I got so many videos. I got so many videos from just this weekend. I'm trying to figure out how exactly. I got videos of paid protesters being exposed, that it's their career to go and, you know, organize and control these protesters. Just all sorts of things. Let's go to clip number 12 here. Cause this is, I don't even know who this guy is, but here's a guy just observing the No Kings protest and recognizing the overt hypocrisy on display. Let's watch.
When you look at the size of this crowd, never forget that these are the exact same people that voted to shut down your businesses. These are the exact same people that supported forcing you to take the shot and that supported you losing your job. Yeah, there's a lot of them. And they all want to hurt you. And they've made it very clear.
He's on TikTok at @right2resist, right to resist. And he's exactly right. Again, it would be wonderful. Can you imagine a world where this many people come out on a Saturday afternoon to make it known that they're against tyranny, that they stand up against coercion or the expansion of this, you know, unelected class, people we don't get to vote for? It would be amazing if they're actually on it. They don't believe anything that they say. They just don't. They don't understand half the stuff they say, but they don't believe, you know, the fundamentals of what they express regardless. And it's honestly just kind of sad. Let's look at the dichotomy. Let's go first to clip number 15. This is Bainbridge, Washington. Boomer protests. This is a little white enclave island of people that think they're standing up against something that doesn't exist. Let's watch. Go to Washington. 700 old boomers holding signs say we are not okay. You seem fine. Everybody there seems they're doing rather well, actually. Wow, the energy is palpable. Oh, and there's a retard in an inflatable costume, too. Great. They're standing in line for something? I don't know. I don't know what they're standing in line for. Free soup, maybe? This looks like maybe they think they're just getting free soup. Do they even know what they're supposed to be doing there? Or are they in line for soup? We don't know. We're not sure. Okay, so that's one of them. Again, this is a dichotomy that this is like more than half of the protest. Just sort of, I don't know, zonked out boomers wandering around, not entirely sure what they're doing exactly. But then, I mean, they can get vicious as well. Let's go to clip number 14 here. What has caused old white Americans en masse to behave this way and suffer severe TDS? Let's watch. Here you go. Bunch of, again, sort of weirdo older people. And it's just bizarre, honestly. It's bizarre for people to have lived through things like the Civil Rights era, to have lived through the Vietnam War, like actual crazy things that the government did that are worthy of protest. What are they protesting? Genuinely, what are they protesting? They don't want a king? Okay, you might as well protest Bigfoot. We don't have a king. So what are you talking about? No king, hashtag boomer power. That's hilarious. They're protesting illegal immigrants being arrested and James Comey, the just endlessly corrupt spy master of the FBI, being indicted. That's the cause they're on the street for. They're going to tell their kids, we've stopped him. We stopped Trump. We went out there. We put our bodies on the line and we did it. We stopped Trump from becoming a king. It's just like, what are you even talking about? I mean, they're claiming that this was the biggest single day protest in the history of the United States, which honestly would be pathetic. Think about all the things the United States government has done and is doing right now. But we're going to look back in history books in 100 years and see that the largest protest movement in all of American history, it wasn't about the endless warfare that we wage, killing millions of people for no discernible reason. It wasn't a protest against the illegal immigration of an out-of-control, just rogue Secretary of State opening the gates for tens of millions of people to flood in and make our lives worse in innumerable ways. It wasn't a protest against the inaccurate and just unscientific absurdity of the lockdown program. It wasn't even about, you know, unjust wars back in the day, Vietnam. Nope, never rose to this level. But the, you know, Million Man March, actual state-level oppression of people based on their race with Jim Crow laws. Nope, none of those hold a candle to whatever this is. The largest protest in American history, and it's over illegal immigrants being deported and corrupt spy masters being indicted. It's just bonkers. It really is utter and complete madness. Like I said, I have so many videos of you know, people trying to explain this to the boomers. You know, Liberty Hangout, Caitlin Bennett's out there trying to explain, like, illegal immigrants came into this country illegally. And it's just like, good luck. Good luck trying to get people to recognize that what they're doing is actually just protesting in favor of the criminals who have made their lives worse in a million different ways. Like I said, I don't even have time to go to all these. But let's go to clip number 5 here, because clip number 5 is, again, you know, imagery that if it was legitimate in the slightest, we would love to see. This would be an amazing sight if the people putting on this display weren't just abject hypocrites unworthy to even mention the U.S. Constitution, let alone have a gigantic one unfurled on the street. Let's go to clip number five now. So you see a big display in Chicago, and they've got this gigantic We the People printout. It's supposed to be like the Constitution. And by the way, it's being led by people carrying the Mexican flag. The Mexican flag. Okay, so you've got a bunch of people draped in the Mexican flag carrying the American Constitution in a protest against the American Constitution by a bunch of Mexicans who want to stay here against the law. What the hell are we doing here? What the hell are we doing here? Again, it's a shame that this type of stuff tricks normal people, that they'll see a big Constitution and be like, oh, these people must be proud to be American. Doesn't even enter into their mind how strange it is to have people wearing a Mexican flag carrying a American Constitution. You know Mexico has a Constitution, right? There's one written in 1824. It was modeled after the American Constitution, but it was a little bit different, and that was the Constitution that Santa Anna threw away when he wanted to become a dictator, and the Texas revolutionaries stood up against him along with something like 15 other states in Mexico, wanting, you know, the flag that flew above the Alamo wasn't a Texas flag. It wasn't an American flag. It was a Mexican flag with the numbers 1824, 1824, because that was the Constitution they were fighting for. See, all of these people marching around carrying the Constitution, they think that Davy Crockett and Sam Houston and William P. Travis were Nazis that were fighting for white supremacy. That's what they've been indoctrinated into through a concerted, you know, psyop by a number of different high-level institutions trying to convince us that our history is evil. It's the same people that were tearing down statues of Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, now carrying a giant mock-up of their Constitution through the streets. The point of all of this is to say, who paid for that? Who paid for the giant Constitution? How much do you think that cost? I mean, hell, if you try to print out just like a something bigger than a poster, it's going to cost you $100. How much did this cost? How much did this 50-foot long, 20-foot wide, however big it is, We the People, fake Constitution, how much did that cost and who's paying for it? Well, we actually have a couple answers about that, thanks to the likes of Anna Paulina Luna. This is from MJ Truth Ultra on X. Holy shizzles. No King's financials release. The financiers, Arabella for $80 million, Warren Buffett for $16 million, the Ford Foundation, $51 million, Rockefeller, $26 million, the Soros Foundation, $72 million, the Tides Foundation, $45 million. And this is just the money that they pour into the organizations that were involved in No Kings. Since No Kings, this grassroots pro-America operation is actually just the combined effort of dozens and dozens and dozens of highly produced, highly funded professional activism organizations, all perpetrated by and funded by the worst billionaires that have ever existed. They spent something like $300 million, not just on this parade alone, but this has been what they've accomplished. This has been their greatest accomplishment to date. And they say there are 7 million people. I believe Grok that there was about 1.5 million people across the entire United States. They could have just given all those people $300. That would have been a lot cheaper, I think, than going through all this rigmarole to achieve absolutely nothing and actually just pretend to believe the things that your enemies believe, because that's the only, you know, optics that works. The whole thing is just a giant, giant mess.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing. but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. So we just got done talking about the sort of stupid side of the No Kings protest, the people that don't even know why they're there, can't exactly put together a thought. But then there's another side. There's another side, and it actually corresponds with some breaking news I just received. This just a minute ago. U.S. appeals court lets Trump send troops to Portland. A divided U.S. appeals court ruled on Monday that Donald Trump can send National Guard troops into Portland, Oregon, despite objections by the leaders of the city and state, giving the Republican president an important legal victory as he dispatches military forces to a growing number of Democratic-led locales. A 3-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals granted the Justice Department's request to put a hold on the judge's order that had blocked the deployment while a legal challenge to Trump's action plays out. Portland-based U.S. District Judge Karen Immergut, who Trump appointed during his first term of presidency, ruled on October 4th that Trump likely acted unlawfully when he ordered troops to Portland. But now the appeals court has reversed that and said he is, in fact, allowed to send troops into Portland, you know, because of the crazy chaos and insurrection that's taken place there over the last 6 months or so. And we have videos of what Portland looked like last night during the No Kings rally. And spoiler alert, it was a Total War Zone, clip number 16. Warlike scenes as protesters launch munitions back at federal agents, and I believe this was in Portland. Let's watch. This was last night during the No Kings protest, video from Post Millennial. And you see DHS agents standing up there. They were shooting crowd control munitions into the unlawful gathering there, who were told to disperse, and in return, the protesters start shooting and firing and throwing munitions back at the DHS troops. Then they start fires, and this video goes on for a while. But it's a straight-up war scene. It's a war zone. Sure, there's idiots dressed in goofy costumes, but that doesn't make it any less real what's happening here. And again, you see, you know, ordnances exploding. And this was, you know, one of the more volatile and explosive instances of No Kings last night, but the whole thing was just replete with the most casual and, you know, just sort of off the cuff, ridiculous calls for violence. Let's go to clip 13 here. This was just one of the examples, sort of blur that line between brain dead boomer and vicious radical communist. Here's a brain dead boomer who is a vicious radical violent communist. Let's watch. So you see these guys dancing in front of a Team America truck. They turn around. Here comes a guy in an 8647 shirt. To me.
I like the colors.
Kill the son of a bitch.
Kill who? Wow,
this 47th president.
Really? What's your name?
Dick Safer.
Glad we got that on camera. You know that's illegal, right? You don't threaten the president.
All right, we can pull the audio down now because he starts cursing. Because of course he does. And isn't there something weird about this? Isn't there just something sort of, I don't even know how to put it. We got this old man that looks like Santa Claus, mustache, wearing a cane, and he's wearing a sweatshirt that says 8647, right? Same thing James Comey posted. And he says, yeah, we should kill the son of a bitch. Kill the president. It's an 80-year-old man just casually saying, kill the president of the United States. I mean, is there, like, what is going on? Just honestly, what the hell is going on? I don't even have an explanation for this. Genuinely, just batshit. They're insane. They're completely and utterly insane. And they just don't even see anything wrong with it. Like, how warped does your mind have to be to think that just being like, yeah, we should kill the president? Somebody's got a camera in your face, and you're like, here's my full name, and I think we should kill the president of the United States. And then they look at Trump and are like, he's really, I mean, everything's crazy since he came into town. Everybody blames Trump for the whole world going crazy. No, the reaction to Trump is insane. It is just completely insane. Completely unprecedented. Makes no goddamn sense. You've got old, like, construction worker dudes just being like, yeah, I think we should just kill the president. Somebody probably should. Okay, I think we should kill you. What do you think about that? I mean, if that's at the level that we're at, are we just saying this now? So that guy should be arrested, probably. We have his full name. We know where he lives. Yeah, maybe go arrest that guy. Teach him a lesson. Show everybody else. You can't just say that crap. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? And maybe I'm feeling so, like, disoriented by all of this, because like I thought we were the extremists. Here I am thinking we're on the fringe. Here I'm thinking we're the extremists. We're the ones who go farther than anybody else. Meanwhile, you got a bunch of librarians just like, we should kill everyone. Like, oh my God, that's horrifying. That is legitimately just mind-boggling. We've never said anything like that. And like, I guess you can, you know, point out a bunch of Yeah, sticker packs. Yeah, great. Is he dead yet? Yeah, these are sticker packs that are sold on Amazon. 8647. Kill Trump. Is he dead yet? You know, skull with an arrow through the head. No king. I mean, it is just, it is utterly weird. And I guess I shouldn't be that surprised. I mean, this is sort of the communist style, right? You sell everything on rainbows and sunshine, and you know, everybody deserves to have a working wage or whatever the hell they say. And then they get into office and they're just like, let's kill them all, please. And this is the point, right? The No Kings rally really is sort of the perfect image of the left. On the surface level, it's rainbows and it's colorful and they're waving the American flag. They're talking about no tyrants. It seems American. It's a nice kind of colorful presentation on the surface. But I mean, you don't even have to scratch. Like, just right there, just under the surface, is this unparalleled, seething, violent hatred for America, for their fellow Americans, for the President of the United States. It is crazy. It's crazy. And it's just especially crazy and sort of hard to come to terms with. When we had Barack Obama drone striking people around the world and creating the whole, you know, racist atmosphere that exists now. And you never saw right wingers going out just being like, yeah, we should kill him. Hi, my name's Harrison Smith, and I think we should kill the President of the United States. I'm the good guy. I'm on the good side. I'm on the right side of history. Side that advocates for murder of innocent people because we can't get our way. Is that what this is? Is this really just like boomerism, grown up people that grew up in just heaven on earth? They were like children in the 60s, teenagers in the 70s, just not a care in the world, richest country ever. The opportunity wide open to them. They'd get a job as a shoe shiner and have a 3-bedroom house the next year. Parents never had to work. Spent their summers just like getting high at Woodstock, having orgies, and now they're just like buttoned up financiers who think they're still fighting the power, not even noticing the just hellish conditions that their very mindset has brought about to everybody that's not them. It's just disgusting, honestly. These people are vile. But I shouldn't be ranting about this one guy. I've got like 10 examples of this exact thing happening over and over and over again. This was a particularly famous example, clip number 7 here. No Kings protester with Mexican flag gives a bullet in the neck gesture to Charlie Kirk fan. So let's watch this. We can repeat it a few times. So this goblinoid, we refer to her as a goblinoid. We're not exactly sure where she comes from or what she is, but she shares characteristics with goblin-like creatures. She could be of an ogre variety. We're not entirely sure. She has the type of body that looks like she's always going tubing. She looks like she always has an inflatable inner tube just around her midsection. She's a disgusting fat person. It's just, she's a goblin is what she is. And the reason I say that is because she's pointing at her neck and making a firing motion to mock the death of Charlie Kirk. She's a teacher. She's a teacher, and they found out, you know, who she is and put her entire school board on blast, and they had to like delete all of their social media over it. From Postmillennial, Chicago elementary school teacher mocks Charlie Kirk's assassination during No Kings protest. A Chicago public school goblin has been accused of appearing to mock the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. The video, which circulated widely on social media, shows a woman? What? Are they suggesting this is a female human woman? I'm still waiting for confirmation of that. She's waving a Mexican flag. Okay. She's a goblino. That's the actual, not kingdom, but, you know, wait, this is no longer a news show. It's now a biology show, and I'm teaching you about the various classifications of goblins. This is a Mexican variation we call the goblina. Okay. Nathan Hale Elementary in the Chicagoland area, which serves mostly Hispanic students, has removed the profile of the teacher, who is named Lucy Martinez. The school also shut down its website, saying it's under construction. The Postmillennial reached out to Martinez as well as Chicago Public Schools, but did not receive a response at the time of publication. According to the account at That 84 Bull News, who first posted the video, the woman is named Lucy Martinez, is employed at Chicago Public Schools. Meet Lucy Martinez, said Students for Trump founder Ryan Fournier. This woman teaches children. Lucy is now the perfect face of the No Kings movement, a movement that preaches love but celebrates death. Evil always exposes itself. Again, you just can't imagine. You just can't imagine being this type of person. I can't imagine, you know, how she is treating her students. She doesn't align with politically. And they just think they can get away with this. And the fact is they can. The fact is, as of yet, there's been no statement from the Chicago Teachers Union, no statement from Chicago Public Schools. No, they went into lockdown mode, deleted those social media to try to weather this backlash rather than accepting it and coming out and stepping forward and saying this doesn't represent us. This woman has been fired. You know, where we've now doing a review to make sure other, you know, teachers aren't carrying around this sort of hateful mentality about probably the children or the, you know, parents of the children that they are supposed to teach. We haven't seen any of that. No, they go into protection mode. They treat it like a crisis that they need to, you know, circle the wagons and protect their people and not let these Nazis, you know, force out a good woman. That's how they react, which is really the biggest issue. Having some bloated goblinoid, you know, making offensive gestures, that's not that big of a deal. She's stupid. I mean, what are you supposed to do? She's a stupid, violent person. That's why we don't want her in the country. We know that. The real problem is that the institutions that employ these people are also controlled by people of a similar mindset who haven't fired her, haven't come out with statements against her. No, they went on lockdown to protect themselves and the teacher from backlash. Not because she was under attack from just something innocent. Not because the right-wingers identified her, you know, whatever, doing something innocent and just deciding to go after her. No, she put the image of a gun to her neck, mocking the very real assassination of a prominent left-wing, or right-wing, rather, conservative commentator. And the school's response is to protect her. It's going to lockdown to protect her from the backlash. Because that's the only thing that's evil. You should be able to say whatever the hell you want about or to Trump supporters or conservatives. They aren't human beings. Just tit for tat. They want to dehumanize us. They're not even human. So, I mean, really not a great tactic. Not a great tactic to pursue when you're trying to dehumanize people, and yet any biologist before 100 years ago would struggle to understand your physiology, would put you in a glass case and display you at the zoo as some sort of freak of nature that modern science can't explain. Sorry, what am I talking about? And there's so much more of this. I mean, from Christian Helens, who noted this, and again, this is a very incomplete list anyway. In just the last 2 months, a leftist shot up a bunch of 6 to 15-year-olds in a Catholic school. Another leftist assassinated Charlie Kirk in broad daylight. Literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of leftists celebrated Charlie Kirk's assassination, calling for more violence to be directed against conservatives. The Democrat nominee for Attorney General of Virginia wishing to shoot Republican politicians and murder their children. Democrats closing ranks around him and encouraging their party to vote for him anyway. Another leftist set up a deer stand outside Palm Beach International Airport in an obvious setup for a third assassination attempt against Donald Trump. This, again, is all just in the last 60 days. But it doesn't even scratch the surface. We've seen, you know, a lot of other examples of, and usually it's about Charlie Kirk, but, you know, just posters up at universities, you know, Charlie caught what he would deserve, you're next, that sort of thing. And we'll get to the assassination attempt on Trump here, because that's another bizarre situation that's being handled in a very odd way. Now, sticking with No Kings for the moment, organizers claims of 7 million rely on self-reported small events without verification, but city-specific data paints a different picture. New York City had about 100,000. Boston had about 80 to 100,000 police estimates. D.C. about 50,000. All combined, it yields a total of about 1 to 1.5 million nationwide, not 7 million. Hype exceeds reality, as in past rallies, independent analysis aligns closer to this, discounting unscrutinized totals. So everybody's going around saying it was 7 million people. According to Grok, doing the actual math and getting the actual official statements from the police organizations in these cities, he said it was about 1.5 million people nationwide, which sounds, you know, more accurate. And amongst those 1.5 million, again, you had a very high percentage of people that are very open and very violent, like very open about their violence, and they just want to kill everybody. It really is genuine. I'm genuinely completely insane because, you know, remember, they're protesting against a king that doesn't exist. Okay? They're protesting against tyranny that doesn't affect anybody, let alone them. And they want to kill not just Donald Trump, but anybody that supports him, like Charlie Kirk, who never hurt anybody, never even had any power to hurt anybody, never said anything racist or, you know, particularly offensive. So, I mean, there's a certain aspect of this of just like, there's something deeply, deeply unnatural about what's going on here. And it's almost like nature demands that we crush all of this. Something very wrong happening here. And I don't know if I brought it in yet or if I brought it in today, but over the weekend there was a video of DHS, you know, feds basically arresting a woman. And, you know, it's all these federal officers walking by a group of protesters. And there's some, again, 5 foot tall, wider than she is tall kind of woman in a mask, in a, you know, a medical face mask. And she like reaches out and hits one of the federal officers. Federal officer is like a 6 foot five dude in full head to toe SWAT gear, like ballistic armor. And they just grab the woman and haul her away. And she's just like, what? What's happening? It's like, well, lady, what do you think is happening? What's actually happening is that you're a pudgy idiot that just attacked a federal officer who himself is like the prime example of human physical achievement. What's happening is that the illusion that has been overlaid nature, this bizarre leftist view of the world that is just utterly disconnected to anything real at all, broke a little bit. You sort of poked your head through the Faraday cage they have you trapped in, and you've met face to face with the reality of the world around you. And there's a lot of this. There's a lot of this pathetic, pale, fat weirdos who, as I pointed out, I mean, they don't want to do the violence. They're not capable of violence, but they have violent ideas. They have violent tendencies. Violence seethes in their mind always. They're just incapable of carrying it out. So they want somebody else to do it for them. And it's just unnatural that all of the smartest and most tuned in and most physically fit and most well-armed people are constantly being cowed and, you know, forced to their knees by a bunch of screeching, hysterical goblins that have nothing, achieve nothing, offer nothing to anybody, right? And again, it is just the leftist mindset. Yeah, there's another one. Big fat lady who thinks that she's protected by some sort of illusion. She thinks because I'm a fat idiot who's used to getting my way, I can go start a fight with full-grown men in body armor, and they just have to take it. I'm telling you, this whole America right now is just this giant scene of a bunch of chihuahuas biting at the heels of a bunch of Great Danes, a bunch of pit bulls. And it's just like at a certain point, we just need to remind the chihuahuas of who's in charge here. And just like let them know, like, okay, you like this this world where actually we do have a rule of law, actually those in power are not above the law and are subject to restrictions. You like a world where you can, you know, speak back to a police officer and he just has to take it because that's the Constitution at work. Well, you're destroying everything that upholds that. You are actually creating a very dangerous world because you're a bunch of psychos. And like, for the sake of all of the wonderful things that America has created and represents, like, we have to just not have any more patience with these people and root them out wherever they are and probably send them to jail. And I'm really mad more people aren't going to jail. Some are. From InfoWars, Antifa members hit with terror charges over ICE attack. Two men have become the first Antifa members in the U.S. to be hit with terror charges for their part in an attack on Immigration and Customs Enforcement Center outside Dallas. In September, President Trump issued an executive order to designate Antifa a terrorist organization. And now two of these people, Zachary Evitz and Cameron Arnold, who was also referred to as Autumn Hill, were part of a cell that stockpiled more than 50 guns, including homemade weapons, according to the prosecutors. So now two men were originally charged on attempted murder charges, along with nine other radical leftists, after they opened fire on law enforcement. And so I guess this is just the first two, you know, charges, but I assume they'll charge everybody involved under terrorism. But like, just can you imagine? Just like, can you imagine if right-wingers were out there just with their face in their hometown saying, hi, my name's Harrison. I think we should kill the president. I mean, they wouldn't last an hour. Within an hour, Secret Service would have you hogtied in a room, you know, with a car battery hooked up to your gonads, asking you where your, you know, fellow terrorists are. But can you imagine if right-wingers set up a trap where they lured out federal agents and fired on them with rifles? It wouldn't be 2 out of 10 getting terroristic charges. All of them would be on death row at this point. And there'd probably be 100 other people with connections to that group, also with charges, also with concealing information or, you know, preventing the investigation or providing material support. How is it you can have a cell of Antifa carrying out a military attack against an ICE facility, and we're supposed to celebrate two of them getting charged under terrorist charges? Though there should be, if there's a 10-person ICE attack, a 10-person Antifa crew, there's probably be 100 people arrested because they weren't acting alone. And they've got compatriots that are going to do this again because you haven't arrested them yet.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by Ultimate Creatine Powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lifts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at thealexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little. It's coming towards you. But also, since there's 30 seconds left, you can have me go, baka chaka woom bak, quack, quack, kong, whatever. You know, that little, like, ooga chaka monka bak, woom kong kong. That'd be really good.
back, folks. Second hour of War Room is on. I'll be joined in the third hour by Rex Jones. We'll take your calls at that time. If there's one thing that's clear about what's happened over the last 10 years is a large portion of the American populace has been driven legitimately insane and are doing things that just beggar belief and make absolutely no sense to anybody that is not in their brainwashed cult. And I wonder if their actions even make sense to the brainwashed cult members. And again, I really struggle. I mean, it's hard to deal with insanity. I don't know if you guys have ever dealt with somebody who's like out of their minds on drugs or out of their minds on even alcohol or just is genuinely out of their mind and insane. And there's something, there's a unique terror that comes with that. There's a unique terror that comes with people acting in a way that is so outside of the bounds of self-preservation. I've experienced it a couple times. One time sticks out to me when my friend and I were having to kick out this guy at this party because he was super drunk. And me and my friend are not drunk, and this guy's like falling over, and he's like trying to fight us. And it wasn't like scary in that he could have beaten us up. It was scary that we could have so easily beaten him up, and he's still trying to fight us. And you're like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, there's just something very sort of, you're like, okay, we're outside of the realm of like logic, and we can't operate in a way where we know what this guy's gonna do because he's like suicidal. He's like insane. And that's sort of how I feel now. This is a story from Postmillennial about an accountant, a 37-year-old man who's married, has a good job, and is now probably going to spend a lot of his life in jail because he got so triggered by a Trump flag. Trump is the president of the United States. If you're getting so triggered by a Trump flag that you're about to try to kill somebody and go to jail for the rest of your life, I don't know how to deal with you anymore. And this isn't the fringe. We've got the Antifa members that spend all of their time just, you know, engaged in communist propaganda and like, you know, we're aware of them. This is something way different. Something way crazier is happening here. The story is nuts. We can roll the video here, clip 45. 37-year-old accountant was arrested after he allegedly opened fire at a supporter of the 47th president as the individual was in his yard with a Trump banner. So here you see the guy tearing the Trump banner down. Let's stay on the video here. He tears the banner down. Now the owner, the homeowner, comes out with a rifle and shoots two warning shots into the air. This guy, instead of just leaving, loops back around, puts a handgun outside of the sunroof, moonroof of his Jeep, and shoots at the guy's house as he drives by. Utterly insane. It's some Napoleonic complex going on here, I have to think, as well. The man is very short. Benjamin Michael Campbell, 37, has been charged with firing shots at Mark Thomas's home in North Carolina. The incident took place on the 6th of September. Footage of the incident was captured on the home security camera. Footage showed the gunman raising the pistol from a sunroof of a vehicle and firing multiple rounds. He's been charged with a Class C felony assault with a deadly weapon, which could land him up to 17 years in prison. Again, like, there have been times where, like, you know, my phone company screws me over so bad, and it's just, you know, you spend 3 days on hold just trying to get something done. And it goes through your mind. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm not sure what I get through. Just like throwing a brick through their window. This was a long time ago. But I mean, come on. We've all been there. Where you're just like blind with rage at something. But you don't do it. We don't actually go out and do it. Because despite how angry you are, you still have that part of your brain that goes, is this minor inconvenience really worth like spending the rest of my life in courtrooms or like trying to defend myself from going, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to do that. I'm just angry. Not these people. Nope. These people think it's perfectly justified to drive by shooting a gun at somebody's house. And of course the Trump supporter is like, you know, I always have a rifle next to me. So I took two shots in the air when I saw him pulling down my Trump sign. Now this guy comes back and fires shots at him. He's going to go to jail for like at least 10 years. Great idea, idiot. What is wrong with you?
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside. I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, it's jonestorg.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So.
Amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while,
if you don't mind, I'll bottle the pills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah. It's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
Like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. Second hour of War Room is on. We'll be joined by Rex Jones in the third hour, and we'll take your calls then. I know there's a lot of other stuff going on in the world right now. What's happening in Israel and Gaza, the ceasefire is sort of on the brink. I wonder what is going to be the conclusion of that. We've got some interesting revelations about the method by which the deep state is trying to foil Trump's plans to bring about peace in the region. I do want to go to that in just a second. I'm spending so much time on the No Kings rally because I'm struggling to understand how to deal with this. And this is the ultimate prize. And it's very weird. It's like, okay, if all the people at the No Kings rally were genuine about what they believed, then we could fix this country in an afternoon. If they actually loved the founding fathers, they actually genuinely believed in free speech, if they didn't like tyrants and were on the lookout for tyrannical behavior and organizing against it, the solution is right there. We've got all of these people with good intentions, a lot of them with good intentions, being used as useful idiots and directed towards something that doesn't even exist. So not only are they not actually fighting the tyrants, they're actually contributing to the tyrannical measures, and they're just completely unaware of it. So I feel like there's an extra, you know, important emphasis we need to put on this, and I'm just trying to figure out what's happening to these people. What has happened to them? And are they worth or capable of being fixed? How does a 37-year-old accountant with a wife, married, successful business, a good life, and he's now probably going to go to jail for up to 17 years because he shot live rounds at a guy because he had a Trump sign. And you just go, do you people not realize this is madness? This is madness. And I would want to ask, like, the other lefties, like, was this a good move? Was he doing something good here? Would you have encouraged him to do that? That's what your rhetoric is leading to. So, I mean, what is the point of this? There isn't one. These people are just genuinely insane. So I feel like we need to contend with this madness and where it comes from and where it's going and how delusional these people truly are. If you want to hear about actual tyranny, you want to hear about living tangible examples of some of the most horrifying, situations that I can imagine, you don't have to fantasize, people. You don't have to read Handmaid's Tale. You don't have to completely misinterpret 1984. You can actually just look at the last few years under the Biden administration. I've got plenty of videos to show you that tell you all about this. Let's go to clip number 46 here. 2 years ago, this man, Ryan Kelly, was sentenced under January 6th, despite never going in the Capitol, never even being accused of violence. His real crime was that he was protesting against the stolen election of 2020, and he was a front runner to be governor, I believe, of Michigan. may have been Minnesota, but he was the front runner, and that's why he got targeted. Just like the reason that Enrique Tarrio got arrested was because he was the leader of the Proud Boys. The reason Stuart Rhodes got arrested because he was the leader of the Oath Keepers. It wasn't because of the crimes they committed. They didn't commit crimes. It wasn't because they ordered people in their organization to commit crimes. They did the opposite. They were arrested, they were charged, they were sent to jail entirely on a political basis. And in this case, it was even like obviously and admittedly because the guy was saying things the judge didn't like. So if you want, if you're one of these No Kings protesters and you're desperate of an example of people in America having their rights limited, having their constitutionally guaranteed God-given rights stripped from them, you don't have to fantasize. You just have to be a Trump supporter. Let's watch.
2 years ago today, on October 17th, 2023, I was sentenced to 60 days in prison for trespassing outside of the Capitol on J6th. The judge, during my sentencing, said that I misused my platform as a candidate for elected office. If you don't know, my name is Ryan Kelly. I was the leading gubernatorial candidate in the state of Michigan in 2022 when the FBI raided my house on June 9th, 2022, and they arrested me on misdemeanor charges, nonviolent, never even went inside the Capitol building, was the leading gubernatorial candidate, election interference. I was the best poised to beat Whitmer, but anyway, that's not the point of all of this right now. The judge said that I had a lot of folks that followed me. I had a lot of folks that supported me. And with that comes the responsibility of not peddling lies and falsehoods. And he was talking about the 2020 election because I said it was a fraudulent, stolen election. He was talking about January 6th because I said that the January 6th, that there was FBI agents there that were setting the whole thing up and involved in the crowd. And what did we find out here recently? Oh, I was right. But I was sentenced to 60 days in prison for that. It's one of the biggest things that the judge brought up, that he had a huge problem with the Facebook posts that I had, right? Freedom of speech, poof, gone. Kings do that kind of stuff. They don't let their people talk freely. Is that right? And then on top of that, you know, lying and misleading all of my supporters. When we come to now find out there was 274 agents that were in the crowd that day on January 6th, you know, it's obvious that the Democrats are the tyrants, the kings, if you will, right? I mean, look at what they did with Kamala in the primary, right? I don't need to explain it to y'all. And the ones we do need to explain it to, you're not going to get it anyway. But, you know, here we are. The Trump administration is removing illegal immigrants from our country and doing good things for America. It was the Biden administration, the Democrats, that targeted American citizens. Red, white, and blue. Let's go, USA.
And of course, he's exactly right. And the examples are endless, absolutely endless. And so you wonder, like, how can people be so wrong? Like, how can they be so off on what they believe? Well, the reality is we allow, for some reason, we allow this massive coordinated group of so-called NGOs to be funded by our tax dollars, who exist as this giant just apparatus sitting over our society, just driving everybody insane, driving everybody genuinely insane. And this is just a very small collection, but these are the partners for the No Kings rally, right? So the No Kings organization has all of these corporate partners, and it is just a little smattering of just some of the incredibly highly funded, highly organized organizations that are deciding the messaging. They're coordinating the messaging. They're coordinating the activities of all these little idiots on the ground begging to have a boot stomped on their neck. Just some of these, just a Jewish Voice for Peace, American Atheist Organization, American Civil Liberty Union Foundation, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, Arab American Institute Foundation, Bend the Arc, a Jewish Partnership for Justice, Care in Action, Inc., Carolina for All Education Foundation, Center for Biological Diversity, Incorporated, Center for Common Ground, Center for International Environmental Law, Center for Responsible Ethics in Washington, Climate Museum, Common Cause with Education Fund, Common Defense Civic Engagement Incorporated, Common Defense Education Fund Incorporated, Connecticut Critics or I'm sorry, Connecticut Citizens Action Group Incorporated, Conservation Colorado, Conservation Colorado Education Fund, Consumer Federation of America, Corporate Accountability Lab, Debt Collective, Defending Rights and Dissent Incorporated, Demand Progress Incorporated, Demand Progress Education Fund, Demand Forward Foundation, Engage Foundation, Engage Foundation Incorporated, Engage Action, Equal Justice Foundation. I mean, it goes, I'm on the E's. This is alphabetical. I'm only on the E's. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And every one of them is funded by this collection of organizations, the Arabella Organization, Warren Buffett, the Henry Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, Soros, and Tides. And they're all funded to the tunes of tens of millions of dollars. And these people, these are the groups just working endlessly. Just one of these groups could have a devastating impact with the amount of money that is poured into them. And every single one of them, like you'll notice as you read the names, not a lot of America first, a total absence of Christianity completely, a lot of Jewish groups, a lot of Arab Muslim groups, a lot of leftist groups, a lot of atheist groups. They're literally just this giant cabal trying to tear America apart from the inside and driving the American people insane with their lies. And by the way, did I mention they're to a large part funded by your taxpayer dollars? So we're paying for these, this spider web of people with ulterior motives, of subversive elements, just paying people to go protest, paying people to cause problems, paying for lawyers to defend people who are causing problems. I mean, it just, it is this massive, ridiculous web of funding and influence and organization that so far nobody has done anything to get a handle on and, you know, prevent them from actively making our lives significantly worse in any number of ways. But that's what they're doing. And if you think this is a, if you think this is overblown, yeah, you can watch a No Kings rally, you know, and pick one particular part of one particular city and not see any violence. And you might not even see very many overt calls to violence. I mean, they're out there. You really can't see a picture of the No Kings rally without seeing at least one sign which says 8647 or some other, you know, oblique reference to assassination, political assassinations as a means to an end. But go to InfoWars. Go to InfoWars.com. Go to the article called Watch, No Kings Protesters Are Violent Radicals Who Want to Kill Conservatives. And just from this one day, you have two dozen examples across the country of, again, people not being caught saying this, outright saying it, making signs with a picture of Trump and big crosshairs right on his face. Wanted, better snipers, with an image of Trump's mugshot. You know, the one example, you know, they use one example of the tyranny against President Trump, the government power wielded against a dissident to try to shut him up by throwing him in jail. They use the picture from that. And then they put a crosshair over the forehead, wanted better snipers. Trump has been the subject of two attempted assassination by snipers. Charlie Kirk was killed by a sniper. And today, there was another example of a security incident with the President of the United States and an apparent sniper's nest being set up in view of Air Force One to try to take him out. And this is so weird because it's like, I heard this story and I saw some people referencing it, but like it wasn't anywhere. I had to search it out with like the exact phrase used in the article to even find this story. How is this not a bigger story? Secret Service discovers hunting stand with direct sight line to Trump's Air Force One exit in Florida. So somebody set up a sniper stand, a hidden nest in a tree in the middle of a city in Florida to try to kill Trump, and it's not even like a major story. This one's from NBC News. U.S. Secret Service on Thursday discovered a suspicious hunting stand near Palm Beach International Airport with a direct line of sight to where Trump exits Air Force One, the agency confirmed to NBC News on Sunday. The FBI is now leading an investigation into the discovery, a spokesperson for the Secret Service has said. U.S. Secret Service is working closely with the FBI and law enforcement partners in Palm Beach County during advanced security preparations prior to the Palm Beach arrival which included the use of technology and comprehensive physical sweeps, our team identified items of interest near Palm Beach International Airport. He added that there was no impact on any movements and no individuals were present at the involved location. A senior official familiar with the investigation said that the perch is across the street from part of the airport where private planes will often park, including Trump's private plane. The official said Air Force One does not normally park in the area, but will be parked there due to recent construction and has used the area in the past. Trump traveled to Florida on Friday and is spending the weekend in West Palm Beach, where he often stays at his Mar-a-Lago resort to play golf. The president has faced multiple threats in the last 2 years, beginning on the campaign trail last year and continuing after he was elected to another term as president. He faced two assassination attempts last year, one when he was targeted at a shooting during a campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, last July, and again while golfing in Florida last September. So here he is back in Florida with another instance of what appears to be a sniper's nest being discovered and destroyed ahead of, you know, Trump landing in the plane. Couple questions about this. If this was a sniper's nest, which it was, there's no other reason. By the way, if the crew can pull up Google Maps, search Palm Beach International Airport, okay? And I want you to bring it up on screen and zoom in to where the airport is. Because spoiler alert, it's in the middle of a city. It's in the middle of a city. Now, I don't think I'm breaking any news here. Near an airport, typically not a great place to hunt anyway, you know, because of all of the planes flying over. Kind of stupid, but at least you could make an argument if this airport was way out in the middle of nowhere, if it was way on the edge of town, you could say, well, you know, look at where this airport is. It is smack dab in the center of the city. Oh, what, somebody was just hunting at the Palm Beach International Airport? It's the middle of a city. So what reason did they have to set up a sniper rifle's nest just outside the airport? There's only one reason. They were setting up to shoot President Trump or some other VIP that was there. But that also begs the question, how did they know Trump was going to be there? How did they know that his plane would have to arrive in a different gate than it typically did? How did they know where to be set up? That's not particularly easy to find information. Are they just familiar with the airport? They have friends at the airport who know the comings and goings of Donald Trump? Same question with the second attempted assassin, also in Florida, also hiding in the bushes, also with a sniper rifle. Somehow he knew exactly where Trump would be at exactly what time in order to lie in wait for him. So like, when are we going to get serious about what's going on here? And is the FBI like actually investigating this stuff? Are they actually getting down to the bottom of it? Should they maybe be calling Candace Owens to see how it's done and to actually try to answer these questions, not just acknowledge the questions and then move on? How hard is it going to be to find somebody dragging the equipment they need? I mean, again, it's in the middle of a city. It's an airport. Okay. Talking about mass surveillance absolutely everywhere. If they never end up finding who set this nest up, I'm going to be very, very, very suspicious. I'm going to assume it's somebody in Trump's like inner circle who, you know, put this on. This should be extremely easy to find out. It should be extremely easy to find out who this was, why they were setting up a sniper's nest overlooking where Trump's plane was going to land, where they got their material, where they found out the information about where Trump would be and when. These are very important questions. Are they going to be treated that way? I don't know. I can't even find most news outlets even reporting that this happened. And then the ones that do, frame it like NBC News, hunting blind found near airport is how they're reporting it. No, it was a sniper's nest strategically positioned to overlook a place that Trump was going to be only because of construction elsewhere in the airport that made his landing there a unique and unsuspected thing. So going on just the information we have now, unless you can try, and even if they do. I mean, the only thing they could do now is trot out some guy that's just like, I just love watching airplanes. I'm like a train spotter, but for airplanes, and I'm a hobbyist. So I wanted a good vantage point to see the comings and goings of planes because I just love planes so much. That would be the only excuse I could. But outside of that nonsensical possibility, this was a foiled assassination attempt. This was a likely highly orchestrated foiled assassination attempt with the assassin still out there somewhere. To be honest with you, if it was me and I was Secret Service and I discovered this sniper's nest, I wouldn't have touched it. I would have had another sniper's nest a little ways down, hidden and watching for who showed up at that sniper's nest to take them out and arrest them before they can get a shot off, but to find out who they are. It's almost suspicious to me that they came out and talked about this before they found the guy who set it up. Trump forced to take on increased security after sniper position found. President Trump rapidly boarded Air Force One using a smaller staircase on Sunday due to increased security measures at Palm Beach International Airport, a White House official told Fox News. The enhanced precautions were implemented after the Secret Service discovered a suspected hunting stand on Friday near the airport that had a clear line of sight to the presidential aircraft during Trump's arrivals and departures. So, yeah, I'm pretty comfortable saying this was another assassination attempt foiled here because there is no other reason that you would have a hunter stand set up in full view of the presidential plane. Like, what other purpose would that be? In the middle of a city where nobody's hunting. I mean, come on. So are we going to find out who this person was? Are we going to find out who gave them the information as to where Trump's plane would be landing? Suspected hunter's perch discovered in tree hours before Trump's departure. So they say it's a hunter's perch. So they're actually insinuating or implying that this was just a hunter's setup. He just chose an unlucky spot. Yeah, just one of those, you know, middle of Palm Beach hunters. You know, when you go to Palm Beach and you just see those deer blinds out on the corner next to the Starbucks and the McDonald's. Guys in bright orange and camo hunting those elusive Palm Beach bucks. Those elusive big game, you know, caribou that make their way through Palm Beach city streets in the middle of the day. Completely insane. It is completely insane, folks. We'll move on to things like what's happening in Israel on the other side of this commercial break. But I do want to remind you, while I have you here, to go to thealexjonesstore.com, get the Irish Sea Moss gummies. Buy one, get one 50% off today only. Well, actually, I don't know if it's today only, but I know it is happening now. And if you don't act now, we are likely to run out or you're going to miss out on this incredible offer, 50% off with your second bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. And it is a limited time. Harvested from the pristine Atlantic waters off Ireland's rugged coast, Irish Sea Moss is nature's multivitamin packed with 92 of the 102 essential minerals your body craves. In today's toxic world of processed junk and nutrition-stripped soils, these gummies deliver raw, unadulterated vitality to fortify your immune system, supercharge your energy, that is, and reclaim your God-given resilience. It doesn't supercharge your enemy. It supercharges you against your enemies. What I should be saying. Immune defense, thyroid and hormone balance, joint and skin savior, energy elixir. It really is an incredible product. I've been taking them every day. I'm all hopped up on Sea Moss gummies right now. Buy one, get one 50% off thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And we'll be right back.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day
right. And
pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the alexjonesstore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited populous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing. I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at the AlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're listening to The War Room. With your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got still a lot to talk about. I want to talk about what's happening in Israel right now because they seem like, honestly, they seem like they're doing everything they can to make the ceasefire fail. And really push the limits of Trump's patience in many ways. So over the weekend, they claimed that Hamas broke the ceasefire, but it's been widely reported that that's not true and they know it wasn't true. In other words, you had a tank blow up, an Israeli tank blow up in Gaza, and they claimed that this was a anti-tank missile fired by Hamas, but they knew from the very beginning that it was in fact a tank hitting an exploded ordnance. From RT, quote, Hamas attack was actually IDF bulldozer hitting an unexploded Israel bomb, according to DropSite. The U.S. knew this, called out Netanyahu's lie, and forced him to reopen aid corridors, but there have been no comment from the Trump administration as of yet. And the response to this false flag attack, right, this exploded ordnance, you can see here, was that Israel dropped tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of ammunition and explosives over Gaza. And that's just one of the various sort of, well, pushing too far, pushing the envelope activities of the Israelis. Trump also made it very clear that he was not happy with the settlements in the West Bank and said those would come to an end. Meanwhile, we have example after example over this weekend of really brutal attacks by Israelis on the Palestinians in the West Bank, burning olive groves, and even luring American journalists into an ambush to attack them. Netanyahu said Israel dropped 153 tons of bombs Sunday on Gaza. Israeli forces dropped 153 tons, that's 337,000 pounds, of bombs on targets in Gaza in response to what it said was a ceasefire breach by the Palestinian group Hamas, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told Parliament Monday. One of our hands holds a weapon, the other hand is stretched out for peace, Netanyahu told members of the Knesset. You make peace with the strong, not the weak. Today Israel is stronger than ever before. Okay. Israel said Sunday it launched a wave of airstrikes against targets in Gaza after two of its soldiers were killed in an attack by Hamas. The Palestinian group denied any knowledge of the attack. And, of course, it was known from the beginning that it wasn't an attack. It was apparently an Israeli ordinance, although I don't know how they could know who dropped the ordinance. But, hell, I think when you're dropping literally millions of tons of ordnance over an area, I think it's safe to assume it was probably one of yours. I guess my question is, why are there Israeli bulldozers in Gaza still if they're supposed to move out? But I believe this was in Rafah, which Israel has had complete control of for a very long time. So how they would explain Hamas being there, being active, firing tank anti-tank weapons, it just makes no sense. So a bulldozer drove over an Israeli bomb, blew itself up, and in return they dropped 150 tons of explosives on Gaza, who they recently claimed to have a ceasefire with. Meanwhile, Ben-Gavir, Israeli national security minister, says, quote, now that we have received the hostages, we must return to war and open the gates of hell upon Gaza. You know, friends like these, right? It's like, you know, at least if you're going to screw somebody over, at least if you're going to just completely double cross everybody, you might try to like not say it out loud. You might try to come up with an excuse like Netanyahu did. Oh, they shot, you know, they killed two of our soldiers. We're going to bomb all of them. This guy's not even saying, he's just like, no, we got the hostages back now, so let's kill them all. Randy Fine says the same thing. Randy Fine says there are no hostages in Gaza anymore. Glass it. Glass it. Nuke it. Turn the whole thing into glass because the hostages, the human beings, are gone, and now it's just animals there. So just kill them all, he says. Congressman of the United States. National Security Minister of Israel. Both just saying these things outright. Yeah, we made a deal, and the deal was we'd stop attacking if you gave back the hostages. We got back the hostages, so now you have no leverage. So now we get to kill you. Does anybody think that's a good idea? Anybody think that's in the benefit of Israel to show what untrustworthy scum you are and that any agreement is just, you know, an excuse for you to betray your enemies again? I mean, it's really pretty pathetic that we don't put a stop to it. Honestly, that's the thing that's pathetic, that we haven't put an outright stop to this. Yeah, here's Congressman Randy Fine. They don't hold living hostages anymore. Glass. Glass. Glass the place. Those of you who don't know, that means turn it into radioactive dust. They blow themselves up and in response say, let's glass them all. And that response really, to me, makes why Israel agreed to this make total sense. Is that they got all their hostages back, and now any excuse they have to blame the ceasefire ending on Hamas means they can just go unrestricted. They have no reason to even pretend to care about the hostages anymore. So now they really can just go full bore. But on the other hand, they also have a lot of action in Syria that they're doing and the West Bank that's going on right now. So just like we said, as we were sort of game planning it out after the Gaza ceasefire, going, if you're Israel, what do you do now? Well, you try to start another war as quickly as possible. That's happening in a large part in Syria, where the ISIS-backed usurpers of Bashar al-Assad, backed by Israel, are now systematically killing Christians and Druze. And so Israel is saying, oh, my gosh, we have to go protect them, and taking large swaths of Syria. And at the same time, settlers in the West Bank are brutally beating Palestinian women and taking their olive groves and expanding the, you know, colonies there. But there's something that has come out from all of this that really illustrates who's pulling the strings and how the peace that Trump is trying to accomplish is being undercut by his own deep state. And I have a clip of this from Steve Bannon. And then I'll show the video that sort of illustrates what he's talking about. But Kushner and Witkoff did a 60 Minutes interview where they talked about getting peace with Gaza. And Witkoff let something very interesting slip. Maybe I'll go to the Witkoff video first. So on 60 Minutes, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner were being asked about the negotiations that were being held. Guys, y'all know what? 29. All right, let's go to clip 29 here. This is Witkoff and Kushner describing how they were lied to about the likelihood of Hamas accepting the deal in an attempt to stop the deal from moving forward. Who they were lied to is the interesting part. Let's watch. Or who they were lied to by. Let's bring up the audio.
The Israelis are on board, at least for part one of the plan. Now you go to Sharm el-Sheikh, and the whole point is to get Hamas on board. So tell us about this meeting. Set the stage.
Well, before you go to Sharm el-Sheikh, after Bibi was at the White House with President Trump, mm-hmm. and they announced his agreement to the President Trump's 20-point plan, then there was a couple days of waiting to see what would Hamas do. And that Friday in the afternoon, we were getting word from the mediators that they were going to come out positive, but with a couple of conditions and different things that they wanted to see modified in any final agreement. But the vibe we were getting was quite positive.
Well, first, one thing I'm going to point out is that we were getting, because of our relationships, and this goes back to, that conflict of interest question you had for us, but our relationships were direct with the leaders of these three countries. And we were hearing that Hamas was positive on the deal. And yet I was reading intelligence reports every day and getting briefings from the CIA three times a day, and those intelligence briefings were suggesting that Hamas was going to say no. And so Jared and I had to make a decision as to where we thought this was going. And both of us, you know, we didn't need to convince one another. We really felt that this was going in a positive way. And sure enough, Hamas came out and said, we accept the president's plan. And that allowed us to get into the next gear.
So this is at least the third or fourth time I can think of where it's been revealed that during Trump's second administration in the last 10 months or so, that there have been conflicting reports from intelligence agencies. And every time, it seems like the reality is being put forward by Trump's people, and yet in the CIA or in even the national security circle, they're being fed information from Israel to try to get America into war, try to stop us from bringing peace. I mean, just again, off the top of my head, I can think of the Signalgate scandal where they tried to oust Pete Hegseth and tried to, get Mike Waltz in. Mike Waltz eventually was fired over that because he was in communication with Netanyahu, coordinating, trying to get America into direct conflict with Iran by staging this scandal and leaking things to the press. Then you have the example of DNI Tulsi Gabbard telling Trump Iran is nowhere near capable of making a nuclear weapon. They're at least 2 years away. And yet, when he's asked about this, somebody asked Trump, what about Tulsi Gabbard? She says this isn't a threat. He says, she doesn't know what she's talking about. So somebody else is giving Trump information that he's valuing and listening to over his own DNI, it's the Director of National Intelligence. She's the superior. She's the oversight organization over every single intelligence agency in America. She has the answer from the intelligence agencies. They say this isn't a threat, but somebody else is giving Trump the alternate information, saying, actually, this is very dangerous, and we have to go to war with Iran right away. Like, this is the battle that's happening behind the scenes. And the deep state clearly is proven wrong every time. It's not like there's two factions of the intelligence community and sometimes one's right or sometimes the other, or the faction of the intelligence community that's saying don't go to war is lying about it, but the faction that does want to go to war is vindicated and shown the truth. No, every time the faction that is pro-Israel, the faction that is pro-war, the faction that is, you know, in communication with Netanyahu or giving briefs to Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, trying to stop the peace agreement from coming about, every time they're proven wrong. But if they had been listened to, we'd be in war with Iran right now. The Hamas deal would have never been established. Like, this is the deep state, and it has a distinctly Israeli bent. Here's Steve Bannon talking about it, clip 27 here. This is him talking about what a big deal this is. Because in case you are confused at what you just heard, you just heard Steve Witkoff say that he was receiving intelligence briefings from the American intelligence agencies that were telling him not to make a deal with Hamas, that they're not telling the truth, that they're not going to go with it, to just drop it, don't believe them, betray them. They were trying desperately to convince them, well, we have the secret information. Well, we're the intelligence agencies. We listen to their, you know, their phone lines. We have the real, you know, data that you don't have. They're lying to you when they say that. But Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner go, we don't think they're lying. We're going to trust them. And they were right. The intelligence was wrong. They weren't just wrong. They were lying. They were lying. It was on purpose. It's like Signalgate was on purpose. Just like telling Trump about the Iranian nuke sites that'll have a bomb tomorrow was a lie on purpose. They know it's not true. But they say it anyway because they are desperate to use America to achieve the goals of the Greater Israel Project. So let's go to Steve Bannon explaining some of this. Let's watch.
What they said about the Central Intelligence Agency is what I've been saying on this show from the beginning, and it came from their mouths now. Witkoff is briefed three times a day by the CIA, and they lie to him. This is not some marginal mistake in intelligence. He sat right there. They lied to him three times a day. Hamas doesn't want to do the deal, never going to do the deal. That's the Mossad talking. That's Netanyahu talking. Ratcliffe should resign today, or let's just have a congressional hearing, right, on national television, and let's just put it out there exactly about what you told these people in the negotiation, and let's go back to what you told the President of the United States about the beginning of the 12-day war, because that was a lie also, as now we know by the Times of Israel putting out the cabinet minutes of the war cabinet of Netanyahu. They were 2 years away, not 2 days, not 2 weeks, 2 years, of which he copped a half of that on Brett Baer on that Sunday night. We said, yeah, it's 6 months, 9 months, it's a year. Wasn't 2 days, wasn't 2 weeks, it was 2 years. Basically, there ain't no emergency. There was an emergency to kill the negotiators, of which they did, so that Witkoff couldn't have a meeting in Muscat, Oman, on that Sunday. Why? Because the Mossad controls the CIA. Thank God for Tulsi Gabbard. They tried to run Tulsi Gabbard out of this city. You talk about courage. You talk about a profile in courage, it's Tulsi Gabbard and her team over there at DNI. She testified to Congress. She went on and talked in the media. She was vilified. And this is Israel first crowd trying to run a patriot out of town because she's telling the truth to the commander in chief. And Huckabee, the clown ambassador, who's an embarrassment. Totally, what he's saying with this insanity, he ought to be recalled immediately and removed immediately. And my buddy Joel Pollack, I know people go crazy. I think Joel Pollack or the ambassador, because Joel Pollack's a decent, good man. And when he knows all the facts, he's not going to be like Huckabee. That'll be a little controversial. I got that. I'll put David Friedman back in there. At least they're going to deal with you straight. And not misinterpret. This misinterpretation is bald-faced lies. These are bald-faced lies.
And they absolutely are, from the conservative treehouse. During a segment, Witkoff and Kushner of the 60 Minutes, Witkoff and Kushner are outlining the step-by-step process. They engaged the leaders of Qatar, Turkey, and Egypt. Witkoff reveals how the CIA was briefing them both multiple times a day. And the briefing itself was the exact opposite of what the Emir of Qatar and the presidents of Turkey and Egypt were telling them. The CIA intelligence was the exact opposite of reality. What they're describing is exactly why we outlined how outside government emissaries are or were slash are vital necessary to work around the control agenda of the U.S. intelligence community. The small example is stunning in magnitude when considered around the importance of the moment. On a positive note, with Witkoff making this stunning public statement, we can now add a major data point to President Trump's reference of not trusting the CIA. Combined with the previous assertions of Marco Rubio and Tulsi Gabbard on essentially the same level of outlook, this example of CIA getting it wrong, that is misleading the administration, has long-range ramifications beyond the Hamas example. With the backdrop for reference, surely now we can have an optimistic sense that President Trump doesn't trust the CIA intelligence on the Russia-Ukraine conflict either, which is or would be a good thing. Now, Trump's admitted that he thought Israel acted, quote, a bit out of control when they bombed Qatar, bombed the Hamas leaders in Qatar that Trump was negotiating with and trying to get an agreement with. But despite all of this, apparently the ceasefire remains in effect. U.S. President Donald Trump and Israel have confirmed the Gaza ceasefire remains in effect despite recent clashes with Hamas. President Trump, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Hamas, and the IDF were involved in this. The ceasefire violations occurred over the weekend in Gaza with responses from Washington, D.C. Key quote is, the IDF will continue to uphold the ceasefire agreement and will respond firmly to any violation of it, which obviously means that the Trump administration knows that it wasn't Hamas that broke the ceasefire agreement. You've got Israel claiming that Hamas fired on a tank and killed two of their people, and they responded by dropping 150 tons of ordnance over Gaza. But then the Trump administration basically says, no, Hamas did not break this. This was obviously you guys. Because if it was Hamas breaking it, then the ceasefire would be over. Because that's the way it works. If Hamas breaks the ceasefire, there is no ceasefire. If Israel breaks the ceasefire, we just go, okay, ceasefire is still in place. It's just Israel's not honoring it. But it is still in place. Just utterly ridiculous. And then the story of this journalist, he's an American journalist named Jasper Nathaniel. And he apparently was lured into a ambush by the IDF and captured a bunch of really harrowing footage as he did so. Clip number 23. This is, again, American journalist Jasper Nathaniel filmed this. And, guys, we'll play clip 23. Keep the audio down for the first about 3 seconds or so. Because he starts off yelling a curse word. Yelling, saying, don't beat that woman with a stick. But to no avail. No, the woman is bashed over the head with a stick by an Israeli settler. There's a little old woman beaten on the ground with a stick. Here he goes on for more. You can bring up the audio a little bit. All you hear is yelling and cursing. Here are the Israeli settlers, you know, beating the hell out of Palestinians in the West Bank as part of their continuing mission to ethnically cleanse the area in total defiance of President Trump's explicit demands. And it gets worse. Clip number 26 here, a horrific day in the West Bank as Israeli settlers, terrorists spread across the region, attacking Palestinian olive pickers. And again, this was in coordination with the IDF. They carried this out. Here you see them flinging rocks, starting fires as they continue the ethnic cleansing of that area. Now, Jasper Nathaniel at infinite_JAZ actually posted his conversation with the American embassy. He says, we need American protection. We are Americans. And the American embassy responds, unfortunately, we simply can't do that. Much as I might personally like to, we haven't got the manpower to protect nearly 60,000 American Palestinians, and legally we're not permitted. Says, I'm an American tourist. They say, unfortunately, no. The protection of American citizens is always the responsibility of the host nation government, which is why we pull our embassies out of places that can't host, that host nation can or won't protect them, Syria, Iran, Yemen, Venezuela, etc. And Jasper responds, are you implying that the Israeli government will protect me and the other Americans here? I don't understand. The IDF led us directly to an ambush. And they respond, well, they're supposed to protect you. So, yeah. So this guy gets led by the IDF into an ambush where people are attacked. He apparently avoids being attacked himself. But then when he reaches out to the U.S. Embassy, they say, well, there's nothing we can do. Nothing we can or will do to protect you. The responsibility to protect you is in the hands of Israel, who are the ones who led you into the ambush in the first place. So it continues. So it just continues. The brutality, the viciousness, the ethnic cleansing, the terrorism continues unabated. And we can go to clip 28 here to see some of the reasoning. I don't even think we need to. It's an Israeli guy saying we're going to kill everybody in Gaza. I mean, is it that unique? Is it that surprising? That's just what happens. That's just who they are. Horrible, but it's our fault because they wouldn't survive without our endless devotion to the most extreme radical and terroristic elements of that nation. And really just does just go on and on. Luckily, it appears as though the Trump administration is driving towards peace when it comes to Russia and Ukraine, although Zelensky is defiant, refusing to negotiate peace, as the article at InfoWars says, hypocritically claims he wants peace, but refuses to negotiate. However, Senator Rubio and Russian FM Lavrov hold constructive phone call to prepare upcoming Trump-Putin meeting in Hungary. So, folks, the deep state is still very much alive, still very much in operation, really tying Trump's hands and subverting, you know, some of his more important policies by still being in control of the deep state and feeding his administration inaccurate, misleading information in order to get them to make the wrong choice, the choice to, you know, continue to support Israel. So we still got a long way to go, folks. The deep state still very much active, very powerful, and very much attempting to destroy the peace that Trump is bringing to the world. I think Trump just needs to be more serious about how he's taking on the deep state attacks. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't just go scorched earth at this point and just fire everybody and just bring in people that are loyal to you. We're not seeing much done in the lawfare fronts. We're not seeing the arrests that need to be made when it comes to deportations. I mean, sort of going with a slow but steady wins the race kind of strategy. But like, this is a crisis that we are in, a moment of very unique and in a vanishing small time period where we can get things done, and nothing's getting done. And it is really beyond infuriating. Rex Jones joins me on the other side. Stay tuned.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue. So I said, oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it. And you just gave me your brief testimony. So I would look, because I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents, and so my biorhythms get all messed up, and so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, be honest though, because you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP, didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate, it's just true, it's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now,
Now, back to our program.
Let's tell a story. A story about one of the greatest PSYOPs in history. The PSYOP that you deserve less and less every year. And that you should work harder and harder for less and less. The PSYOP that to be broke was the American way. The PSYOP that you should be lucky to pay your bills. The PSYOP that it's normal for prices to go up every year, forever. The PSYOP that it's normal to pay taxes. When you're born, death and taxes are the only certainty, they would tell you. The PSYOP that you need to make $80,000 a year to take care of your family, then $100,000, and then $150,000. Now they tell you both you and your wife need to work to achieve financial freedom. So you hire the nannies, you hire the babysitters, you leave your community, you just don't have time for them anymore. Because you and your wife embarked on individual careers. These careers that took you away from your kids, your spouse, your home, your community. And they told you this was normal. It's totally normal to spend two-thirds of your time away from your family. It's normal to fight and get divorced. And it has nothing to do with the economic decisions and policies made by the government. None of it was normal. It was all nefarious. And it chipped away at what it meant to be an American. It chipped away at your self-esteem. It chipped away at your marriage, at your family, until you looked up and one day no one was married anymore. No one was succeeding unless they were heavily leveraged. One day you woke up and realized you don't recognize the world around you. Until Trump. President Trump came along and said, "This is your country, and that's your money." And he wouldn't back down. All the people that were destroying you came out and spoke against him. They went to great lengths to undermine his agenda. When President Trump hit his stride in 2019, they released a biological weapon that was the largest PSYOP in global history. COVID. They ran the scamdemic. They extorted trillions of dollars out of your economy. Then they stole your election overtly, hijacked your democracy, put up barbed wire fencing around your capital, and told you it was normal. During the next 4 years, they would unleash an invasion the likes of which no nation had ever seen. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of illegals, poured in the United States of America and began gobbling up whatever remaining resources were in existence. You were deemed a domestic terrorist by those in power. They surveilled your phones, your computers. They surveilled your lives, but it wasn't enough to stop Donald Trump. When they couldn't undermine his campaign through the courts and lawfare, they eventually tried to kill him again and again and again. Until that fateful day in November, when President Trump and America reclaimed their sovereignty. With him, he brought the richest man on the planet, for free, named Elon Musk. They then began uncovering and publicizing all of fraud, theft, waste, and abuse of the American taxpayer. They have threatened him. They have threatened his family. Subversion is all they have left. Infiltration is all they have left. Their funding is drying up. This is your Liberation Day.
A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yeah!
tuned, folks. Rex Jones in studio on the other side. Your phone calls as well.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
week. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesworld.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. Third hour is on. In studio with me is the one and only Rex Jones. Follow him at Rex Jones News with a Z on X. How you doing, Rex?
Doing phenomenal. It's always good to be with you, Harrison.
Well, we got so much to talk about, and I want to take phone calls as well. I'll go ahead and give out the number now. If you want to call in to myself and Rex, the number is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call. I got stories about James Comey doing some shenanigans, try to get away with what he's been indicted with. I got some health stuff that I definitely want to talk with you about, since that's sort of your bag. I mean, and then there's a story about the Louvre heist. Did you hear this?
Yeah, where they got the French crown and all of that.
Yeah, and then they dropped it apparently in the gutter. It's something worth $10 million. They just
isn't that emblematic, huh?
Yeah, there's something to it, isn't there? And it's just the type of thing to me that it's like, if this was any normal time, this would be the top story for weeks. It's so dramatic. It's so thrilling. And it's like, it doesn't even make it to the top page anymore. The headline, how thieves pulled off a daring daytime heist of French crown jewels in 7 minutes, stealing priceless crown jewels from the world's most visited museum on Sunday. The brazen heist was carried out in less than 8 minutes. It was obviously a very experienced team that acted very, very quickly. I'm confident we'll very quickly find the perpetrators and, above all, recover the stolen goods. And at least one of the crowns was found, yeah, in the gutter. But it's like, you know, again, it's not even about this story. It's about the fact that this story doesn't even break the top 20 stories in my stack today, because everything's so utterly insane. What was your take on the No Kings protest over the weekend?
Well, let me tell you, I was driving down South Lamar, and I got real close to Electric Avenue or Electric Drive, which is where you kind of do the loop-de-loop to get onto Mopac. And it's just a typical thing where you see the fat white women and then the old boomer. And that's pretty much all you see. You might see your occasional blue hair, maybe a couple like non-garden variety blue hair, maybe like a purple or a pink hair, maybe a combination of the two.
Yep.
But it's all the same thing. And I saw one person with the sign that I thought was a little funny, and it said Trump is a dictator. And then on the bottom it said dick taker, and it had a little orange pee-pee on it.
It's good.
Yeah.
You know, nothing fits.
Very original from these people. It's not like they made the same jokes for 10 years, right?
Well, and of course, you know, what is being gay bad now? Is that what they're trying to tell us?
It's bad when the president does it. Okay. The president's not allowed to be gay. Okay. Well, I mean, we already had Obama, so.
Well, yeah, we already had our first gay president. But like, yeah, so what is behind that? And what is behind because I spent like the whole first hour talking about this, the just insanity of these people. The one video that stuck in my mind, and there are other ones I haven't even played. There's one where it's a guy saying, get your guns and go after ICE agents. And he is also a teacher of some sort, or he's in education somehow. But the one that gets to me is the old man that looks like he should be like serving ice cream in in a Twilight Zone episode or something. Because he just looks like he's got a big mustache, and he's just an old white guy, but he's wearing a sweatshirt that says 8647. He's just like, yeah, we should kill the president. And he's just like a boomer, just openly, here's my name, here's my first and last name.
Right.
I think we should kill the president. It's just like, what is happening to this country?
Well, I mean, you think about the Biden administration, that person would be in jail, you know? They would be in jail. That would be a terroristic threat. That would be domestic terrorism or white supremacy, maybe all three wrapped in a blanket together, and he'd be in prison. But, I mean, you look at the quote-unquote king. He's not doing that. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm a boomer. I got my walrus mustache, and I want to kill Trump. I think real good.
Well, he doesn't want to kill Trump. He wants somebody else to kill
Trump. Well, he's wearing the shirt. He's wearing the shirt. We all know what that stands for.
He's in favor of the murder. He's not going to do it himself.
No, no. He can't. He can't get on the roof. It's his knees hurt.
Yeah. He could be in the Secret Service though. But yeah, I mean, and then they find this hunting perch, you know, outside of the airport where Trump is landing.
A plane watching. I heard you talk about that. That's either someone that's severely autistic and is like, I want to watch the plane go up and the plane go down. Or that's someone that really does want to kill the president. Right.
Right. And it's just like, this is just everywhere. It's happening constantly. And it really is like they're making us want a king. Like, I'm kind of like, wait, a king wouldn't let you guys do this? Like, how do we get one of those? How do we get a king? Because clearly this whole democracy thing has broken all of your brains and you cannot handle having a vote. Where do we get a king from? I mean, is that the solution? And then it's hilarious in Canada and elsewhere. They had the same thing. They called it the No Tyrants March because they actually do have kings and can't actually protest that.
Right.
But it's just, I mean, it's all just goofy. And I don't even understand, like, what they think is happening in the world. So, whatever. I mean, to me, it's like, if only we had a king. If we had a king that would actually be, you know, invested in the betterment of the country rather than just, like, temporarily hang out in D.C. to make as much money as possible, then there's stuff like this. Tell me your take on this. Trump's first in-person fundraiser for the 2026 cycle will be for Lindsey Graham.
Oh, yeah.
Trump's first,
nice.
You know, endorsement, his first campaign activity of the 2026 cycle is for Lindsey Graham. Now, am I wrong? When I see this headline, I would have a similar reaction if I saw something saying Trump campaigns for Hillary Clinton. Right? I mean, Lindsey Graham is as bad as Hillary Clinton when it comes to swamp creatures. What is Trump doing?
I don't know. I think he's being loyal to the power structure at the end of the day. I think that whether you like Trump, you hated Trump, or you were indifferent to Trump, everyone thought one thing when he first came onto the scene. This guy's going to be a wrecking ball for the system. I mean, this is what we heard from every single person, right? Especially during the first term and especially during the first campaign. We've entered into an era now where he's, like it or not, been a politician for a decade, really, since 2015, maybe even slightly longer. We've entered into the era now where he's kind of chosen, like, hey, you know, I can be the head of the Republican Party, essentially. This can be my thing. I can run it. I can be in charge of it. But, you know, all those people that backstabbed me and hated me and said Russia, 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 and tried to get me impeached and indicted, hey, if they're willing to bow to me and submit to the Trump throne, then ultimately, you know, they're my people and I'm going to support them. And I think that's what we see a lot with people like Lindsey.
And the reason why he is so viciously against people like Thomas Massie.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't like Massie at all. He's campaigning for someone else, and now he's campaigning for Lindsey Graham. I mean, Lindsey Graham, all he wants is the war in Russia to continue. That's like his number one issue. He goes, well, we're going to continue that war in Russia, and Putin is on the ropes, and we're going to pass a 19th sanctions package. We passed 18 of them already. It's done nothing. It's done nothing. But we keep hearing this Star Wars narrative from Lindsey Graham. I mean, Lindsey Graham goes over to Kiev and spends hundreds of thousands of dollars partying. Reportedly, we've all heard the stories about this. And, you know, the war's going to keep on going because people like Lady G, unfortunately, they seem to have Trump's ear.
And there's actually a good competitor for Lindsey Graham. He's like one of the top people, I would say, the most MAGA supporters would want primaried out of the Republican Party. But Trump supports this guy for some godforsaken reason. I can't figure it out personally. Let's go out to calls here. We've got Michael or Mitchell in California on line one.
Cut the Harrison, guys.
Go ahead, Michael, you're on the air.
You got me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey there, good to go. Hey, Rex, I just wanted to tell you, I am so proud of you. I'm the same age as your dad. I've been following your dad for about 20 years now. And just seeing you grow up, and I used to hear you on the air with him once in a while, and it was pretty cool. And where you're at today, I think it's fantastic. I think you're awesome. I have a single 22-year-old daughter that lives in Austin that I want to give you her phone number whenever you're ready. Also, Harrison, you're doing a great job on the show.
Man.
I hated to see the other fella go, but it's crazy.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You say you're proud of Rex during the current events. Do you have any specifics?
I think what he's doing with this supplement company is fantastic. Follow your dreams and do what it is. I mean, the things that Alex has been doing and you guys have been doing it are helping me, like with the methylene blue. I finally got it. My wife was not wanting me to try it because I do red light therapy at 10 minutes every single night. It really helps with my skin cancers and everything else. But being on the methylene blue, I haven't had to do the red light therapy near as much, and all my skin cancers are completely gone.
Well, that's fantastic. It's unbelievable to hear.
Yeah, and then there's also a unique aspect to it that I never thought would even happen. So, of course, where I live, I'm an old logger. I'm a Marine. I'm a logger. I'm an ex-deputy sheriff. I've been beat up. I've been broken. I've had two hip replacements. So I utilize medical marijuana. The crazy thing about the methylene blue is I can take methylene blue, and then I can go smoke for the pain or whatever it is. I'm not high.
Huh.
It completely takes the high away from the THC. And I don't know if anybody's done a study on that, but you should, because it could be a complete game changer in a lot of different things.
That's very interesting. So you don't feel like
stoned.
Yeah, discombobulated. You don't feel the effects of getting high, but it still works.
That's because it's fixing all those broken energy pathways in the brain, specifically with the mitochondria. That's why it makes it so much really less effective, but more effective for the positive benefits that you're trying to get out of it, like the pain relief and the anti-anxiety.
It's insane that I can either take I can smoke a little bit or do whatever I have to do with the THC in it. And then the methylene blue, it just completely takes the stony out of it and makes you relaxed and makes the pain go away.
That's very interesting. Well, thank you very much for the call, Michael. We'll have to do the matchmaking off air sometime.
Very kind. Thank you so much.
But we appreciate it. Thank you for the call. I want to go to another Michael in Ohio this time, who wants to talk about the division narrative around Trump. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison and Rex. I also would like to plug that methylene blue, just like the last caller. I'm here to tell you it does give you mental clarity. It does give you energy. And not only that, I noticed I had a couple warts on my hands and, like, literally gone. And it's crazy. So I heard another caller mention that they had some wart, you know, remover or whatever from it. So it does repair cells definitely on a cellular level. But real quick to the last caller's point about marijuana use, I don't know if you guys seen this or not, but the Supreme Court actually is reviewing whether or not to allow Americans to have gun rights if they use marijuana extensively. And I know a lot of states log when you purchase. It's not like going to purchase alcohol in the legal states. They take your ID, they categorize how much you buy, what you buy, when you buy it. So there's definitely a database of that information they could use to take people's guns. but to the whole point I called the Discord thing, you know, or the division between left and right, it seems like, you know, I don't know what is going on with this Charlie Kirk thing. Like, one minute the FBI's mm-hmm. telling us stuff, and now they're like, no, we're not releasing anything. It is what it is. And, you know, I'm like, was it a fake? I don't know anymore. You know, we're living in this world where, like, and I think that's where they want us. They want us not being sure of day-to-day life. And I feel like Trump has really stepped into the role of pitching division. I mean, like, with some of his AI posts, and the things that he does, like dropping poop on protesters and stuff. I mean, granted, it's funny, but at the end of the day, it's like, is that really bringing unity or is it bringing division? You know?
Interesting.
I feel like a lot of these platforms as well, you know, like the whole Israel thing is really a hip thing to talk about. And I know, Alex, I caught the end of his show today. It's hard for me to catch his show because at work, but he was talking about how Israel is using this narrative to basically make themselves the victims and everything. And we see that even in our own country, where they're passing these anti-Semitism laws, you know, stepping all over
That's
freedom
right.
of speech. So
yeah.
I feel like at the end of the day, you know, we do need to get ready for some defensive tools. And And if everyone in this country, even if not if everyone in this country, but say, you know, 1% of the people actually took cases to court and argued them, even if they didn't hire a lawyer and they just did it themselves, just the point of showing the court at the end of the day that you are willing to fight for the freedoms you have currently, I think that would change the narrative much quicker than us just, you know, kind of talking about things. And I mean, I'm talking speeding tickets, seatbelt tickets, anything you feel is a violation of your rights. You should take that to court and argue it.
Definitely whatever you can do to fight back beyond just talking about this stuff. Comments on that, Rex, the Israeli division. I know Alex was talking about that a lot with Andrew Meyer today. I got my own theories about, you know, what's taking place right now. But when it comes to like the Charlie Kirk thing, I'll say I saw for the first time today something that really made me question the sniper story. There are supposedly, and I actually have the image here, but I haven't looked into it enough, so I wasn't even going to present it today. But there are like very high quality photos from the AP that seem to show Charlie Kirk's neck right where he got hit has some sort of like Band-Aid on it before he was hit. And it's very subtle. It's like a skin, you know, colored patch, but it's right there. It's very weird. And this was, this is from Project Constitution on X. But I haven't looked into this as much as I will before I like go for it. But it seems like every day there's more information coming out that casts more suspicion on, the Charlie Kirk assassination. Have you been keeping up with that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't buy the official narrative, the official story on the whole thing and the way the trial is with the gag orders and having it all closed. I mean, the public has a right to know. This is a very big deal. This is a very big case. This is really precedent setting in regards to like the culture of the nation as to what really goes on here. And it's all just a little too perfect. And speaking of what the caller was talking about, you know, about Trump and division, it seems like with Trump, at least at the start, really had kind of a pseudo or a proto third party option where people could go, you know, I'm not an establishment Republican. I'm with Trump. I'm not an establishment Democrat. I'm with Trump. XYZ. He's a populist. He's going to be that wrecking ball. He's going to support me and ultimately unique independent interest. Even if they're his own interests, they'll still be different than the power structure. And it just seems like with everything going on, the new protests and the old protests, you name it, we've fallen right back into that left-right dichotomy thing. And I think we were starting to get away from that. I think it's like Matt Baker said on the interview last night that I did with them. It's like we're kind of getting back onto the plantation.
Yeah. And, you know, it's tough because it's like you want to say like, well, it's not really left versus right. It's deep state versus the rest of us. We should come together. But then it's like you look across the aisle and you're like, all right, but they are actively trying to like recruit children into transgenderism. You can't just let them do that.
Look,
right.
Here's the thing. I agree. Yes, the left bad. I agree. And yes, Trump better than Biden. I agree with that. Those are very simple, easy statements to make. At the same time, did we elect him to be better or did we elect him to do the job that we put him in office for? Right. Did we elect him to, you know, FAFO and to dump on the protesters or did we elect him to release the Epstein files and to end the wars? This is the argument that I make. It's like, yeah, I mean, we're on the winning team now and you gotta play along and you gotta have a good attitude about it. I mean, yeah, I have a good attitude that the president isn't like a drooling, demented moron anymore. I agree. That's good. But maybe we should expect more, especially after what we were promised, right? Because Trump didn't promise us drag queen story time. He didn't promise us vaccines, but we're getting the vaccines now, right? And, you know, the mRNA and all the funding for that. And RFK Jr., everyone says RFK is doing a great job, and I agree, he is doing some great stuff. Why aren't the medical poisons being banned? Why isn't that happening? That's my opinion. See, I'm a bad person, bad guy, saying all these things.
No, it's a good question. And you know, there's stuff like this, which this has been going around forever, but I just really have it like taped to the wall here. It's just the actual, you know, U.S. code that talks about how it's a crime to bring in illegal immigrants. And it's a big crime, right? Any person, this is U.S. code, this is 8 U.S. code 1324. Any person who encourages or induces an alien to come to, enter, or reside in the United States, knowing or in reckless disregard of the fact that such coming to, entry, or residence will be in violation of the law, shall be punished as provided in prison no more than 5 years. In the case of a violation which the offense was done for the purpose of commercial or financial gain, in prison for not more than 10 years. In the case of a violation during and in relation to which a person causes seriously bodily injury to or places in jeopardy the life of any person, in prison for not more than 20 years. So, like, Anybody who brought in a migrant that committed a crime against an American citizen should go to jail for 20 years. Any company with a CEO who's using illegal immigration to make money should be in prison for 10 years. It's like, yes, go after the illegal immigrants, but where are the punishments for the people that brought them in or who protect them from the law? Like, this is, we don't need new laws. We don't need anything. We just need an executive to actually execute on the laws. It's infuriating that this type of stuff isn't being done.
Right. I agree with that. You know, I was having, you know, kind of a mild disagreement with my co-host about this, Tim Tompkins on the Gray Area. I was talking to him about this yesterday and he was like, look, we have all these people over here. They're doing all these jobs that Americans don't want to do. Why is that such a bad thing? It's a bad thing because our nation was deindustrialized and those companies that are able to profit off that money and to get rich hiring this, you know, low skilled, low cost labor at the end of the day, they shouldn't be able to do that. They shouldn't be able to employ people for pennies to do these jobs. They should take a hit and lose money and American workers should get to be able to do the jobs because as bad as it is to have the illegal do it, just wait until the robot does it.
Right. Well, and that's the way things are moving. And of course, this has been going viral this weekend as well. It's lifetime contributions per immigrant. And if it's a North American immigrant, they benefit over their life. They contribute $500,000. If they're from Scandinavia, they also contribute $500,000. Same thing with Oceania, which is, you know, like the UK. Mm-hmm. Japan, or I'm sorry, maybe Oceania, maybe that's talking
New
about
Zealand
New Zealand and Australia. Yeah. Japan, same thing, $500,000 plus. UK, $500,000 plus. Every single Somalian refugee to America costs us an average of $1.1 million. From the Caribbean, it's minus 675,000. Middle East, minus 600,000. So every single migrant that gets brought in is just a massive drain to the system because they go on welfare, because they require extra resources to deal with them. From Christian Hines, I think. There are 92,000 Somali migrants living in the U.S., which means we're paying $101.2 billion for the lifetime privilege of importing a bunch of Ilhan Omars to lecture us about how white men are the greatest danger facing society.
We got to get more.
We need more.
We need more. We got to crash this ship real quick. That's the true accelerationist option. We need more Somalis.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that is the case. And you know, it's the same thing in Europe. And it's the same thing with people that aren't immigrants but are here. Like, if you divide it by demographic, some are net drains and some are net positives. So it's like, how is it that we bring in people that cost us $1 million and we bring in 92,000 of them and then we're told diversity is our strength? It's just nothing but a drain. Why do we do this? And it's because people can, you know, make short-term money off of it. I want to get into the Israel division and stuff as well because that obviously is a very big topic and Alex talked about it quite a bit. And I also want to go to a video on the other side of what it's like in the UK as a little – you know, tease as to what lies in the future for us. Now, what do you know about Irish Sea Moss? Because that right now is buy one, get one 50% off on
thealexjonesstore.com. Oh, we love it. We love the trace minerals. We love the bioavailable iodine. I mean, InfoWars bestseller for years, almost a decade, basically was that nascent iodine, then X2, X3. And now at the Alex Jones store, you can get the same high quality iodine, but just from a different source. And it's even more bioavailable. It has even more trace minerals in it. It's the whole package.
It's almost, you know, the stuff that we sell, like sea moss gum, the sea moss and the, shilajit, these are like magical things provided by God. Like, who would have thought that like the sea moss that washes up on the shores of Ireland is like the best superfood you could ever ask for? But they figured it out during the, Irish potato famine. People were starving, so they went to eat this stuff and realized it was a superfood. So it's the stuff that God gives us and we just package it up and, you know, make sure it doesn't have any heavy metals.
Incredible.
And sell it to you. It is incredible. And right now, buy one, get one half off at thealexjonesstore.com. So go there to get your ultra methylene blue. But while you're there, get the Irish Sea Moss gummies. Buy one, get the second bottle for half off. Thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. I'm going to go to that video. We're going to talk about Israel. And then we're going to go out to your phone calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. Rex Jones is here with me. Follow him on X at Rex Jones News with a Z. And make sure to catch up on his live streams. Are you doing those daily?
Yes, I am.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene Blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene Blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about Methylene Blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day
right. And
pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the AlexJonesStore.com.
Our Methylene Blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck, too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing. I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexShowStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Be prepared to enter a world stranger than you have ever imagined. The world of witchcraft, magic, and ritual.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm in studio with the one and only Rex Jones. You can follow him at Rex Jones News with a Z. And you've been doing daily podcast live streams that stream on X, right? How else can
people
find
I misspoke. They're not daily. It's every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. On Sundays, we go 3+ hours. We do a full, really good show. And we're trying to prioritize having a really high-quality guest every single Sunday. I think we're going to have you on soon. We've had Matt Baker on. We've had Chase Geiser on. And really, anyone that wants to come on, you know, has an interesting story, has some profile, we'd love to have you on Sunday. So please follow Gray Area Talks on X and follow me at Rex Jones News.
Gray Area Talks and Rex Jones News with a Z.
That's right.
Now, I want to go to a real quick video here because it just shows where things are headed here in America and how crazy they've gotten in the UK. And again, it's not even about this particular video. It's about just what this represents. I don't know if you've seen this, but clip number 25, it's a guy walking around a pro-Palestinian march in the UK. And let's just take a watch.
I'm supporting the war crimes of Netanyahu, and I'm wondering if you'll arrest me?
No. You've got freedom of expression, freedom of speech. That's all I've got to say.
I'm supporting a genocide, and I'm not getting arrested. She is protesting against a genocide. She is getting arrested.
So I'm against the genocide. They're going to arrest me. You've been walking around telling the police you support genocide, you support the killing of Palestinian women and children, and they're not arresting you.
I can walk completely free.
It's ridiculous.
I'm supporting the Israeli government and supporting a genocide, and I'm not getting arrested, but you're getting arrested. But you're okay for me openly to say that I support a genocide.
You've got a freedom of speech, right, say what you want.
Let me come clean. I don't actually support the Israeli government. How could you support the Israeli government considering what's happening in Gaza right now? If we care about our human rights, we must defend our right to protest against genocide.
So how crazy is that? So he's literally like talking to somebody as they're being carried away by police, and he's going, I'm supporting genocide, you're protesting it, you're getting arrested, I'm not. I mean, it's completely dislocated from any semblance of logic or like continuity. It's just completely arbitrary. You can actively and openly support killing all the women and children in an area as long as you're on the right side of the divide.
Oh, and mate, you got the government approved opinion there, and we're not going to do anything about that. It's a good thing.
They have such stupid voices, I'll be honest. The British accent, it's like this cheat code, this hack, and you have anyone with it, they can go get a job in like media or comedy. And
sounds smart.
Yeah, I'm blanking on this guy's name. He just did Kill Tony. Absolutely sucks. And you can tell he's a level below everyone else, but it's just like accent merchant. You
that
know,
action.
At the end of the day. But yeah, it is crazy. I mean, if you talk about the genocide of the Palestinians, if you talk about what's been happening in Gaza, you will get a level of pushback in the UK that's really unheard of. And I saw this news story about someone that was wearing like a Star of David necklace that was arrested by police. I don't believe that, number one. That's what we call astroturfing, ladies and gentlemen. But it's very clear and very obvious going back to the pandemic. If you have an opinion that the government doesn't support, especially in a place like UK or or Australia, You're screwed. They're gonna pick you up and they're gonna take you to jail.
Yeah, and it really doesn't matter, you know, whether you're insulting people or calling for genocide. As long as you're on the right side, you know, you're allowed to. And if you're on the wrong side, you aren't. It really is horrifying. And of course, it's, you know, centered around Israel, as everything is. Absolutely everything in the world.
Everyone talks about Israel all day. I'm sick of it. All right. How much do we need to cover Israel?
The caller says, I don't know, 60,
70%. 70%. That's great. We'll talk about Israel 70% of the time.
That was fun. I watched the show yesterday and he stayed on for a while and talked to Chase, and they're tired of talking about Israel, but because they're tired of talking about it, they talked about it for another hour.
That's the problem. It's like, I don't want to talk about Israel anymore. So we got to talk about it. That's the issue, is we aren't allowed. And so for me, I was thinking about this because they seem baffled at why people are becoming so anti-Israel. And I think I have an explanation. See, in 2015, I know you were very early on the Trump train.
Right.
You recognized the power early on. It took me a while. I was a Rand Paul fan, and I was upset at
the good old days, huh? When times were better.
Yeah. Right. And so I wasn't a Trump fan. I wasn't a Trump supporter. I liked Rand Paul, but I was around a bunch of lefties and liberals who would constantly lie about Trump. And so I would go, guys, that's just not true. Like, listen to what you're saying. And I'd be defending Trump, and they'd say something else crazy, and I'd go, that's also a lie. And before I knew it, I was a Trump supporter, because it was like they lied so much, I had to keep correcting them and keep defending him. And I sort of convinced myself. I'm like, these people are crazy, and Trump is clearly the right guy for this. I think the same thing's happening with Jews or with Israel. Is it's like the more lies they say, the more people that weren't ever even a part of this topic are going, All right, well, that's a lie. So I can't go along with that. I have to argue against it. And then they get called anti-Semitic, and so then they are in that mix. But
well, here's the thing. When you argue about these topics, especially like Israel, Gaza, or Ukraine, Russia, there's always this Star Wars narrative, right? Of like one side is like the Rebel Alliance, and, you know, they're fighting against the evil empire, and they got the X-Wings and the R2-D2 and the Chewbacca. Oh, it's so cute. It's so friendly. Like, these are the good guys. And the other people, they're bad. They're bad. The Russians are bad. The Palestinians are bad. And it's up to noble Ukraine or noble Israel to, you know, win the fight, whatever that means. And when you look at the numbers, I just go off of the GHF numbers, because that's what like an Israeli person will ask you to talk about, are the numbers that they approve of, like the lowest possible casualty, injury, and death numbers. Over 18,000 people this year alone have been injured going to those aid sites, like seriously injured, and thousands of them have been killed. So you're talking about a situation where these people, they can't get food, they can't have power, they can't operate freely, they're constantly under threat of being bombed. But then, you know, somehow the side doing all of that, that has all the power and control over the area, they're the good people. And you know why they're the good people? It has nothing to do with them or their own national interests. Just like Ukraine, it's because we backed them, we're making money off of it, and ultimately we want the land, right? So it's really all about United States power in that old neocon administration. And we talked about people like Lindsey Graham at the beginning of this hour. It just serves their interests at the end of the day. So it would be great to not have to talk about this stuff all the time. And I understand my dad's message, you know, like, let's fix the country. Let's take the country back. Let's worry about domestic issues. And that's great. And that's fine. But ultimately, we're going to be hated on a global scale for decades to come because of these actions we've taken in these foreign countries for no reason. We've done it for no reason at all. All we do it for is for like temporary power. And I heard, I think it was Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, or it may have been Ray McGovern that made this point. Maybe both of them, actually. America abroad, we operate tactically, which is like we're playing checkers. We're making the next move, the next move, the next move. These other countries, they're playing chess on us. And when we deal with these conflicts where there's just mass death and destruction, it's all our weapons. At the end of the day, that doesn't rub people the right way. That's not America first.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's, you know, there's stuff like this. Islamic group sues Northwestern over required anti-Semitism training, claims it violates the Civil Rights Act. And it's like, okay, this is CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. They're suing Northwestern University on behalf of the school's graduate workers for Palestine, alleging that requiring students to complete a mandatory anti-Semitism training course violates the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The complaint claims that the training prohibits expression of Palestinian identity, culture, and advocacy for self-determination, and accuses Northwestern of silencing students, including some Jewish students who criticize Zionism. And it's like, why are the Muslims the one doing this? I mean, why right. do we have anti-Semitism, you know, requirements for everybody going to an American right. university? It should be Christians standing up against this. It should be us standing up against this.
And
this
see,
is,
with this
sick.
With this issue, and it really is sadly, like, morally, guys, this is just the truth. It's a black and white issue. You're on the right side of it or the wrong side of it. At the end of the day, it's ceding ground to the left. They can run on this. They can say, look at this genocide that was committed. Look at all these wars that have been committed. It's the Republicans doing it. Now, they can't do that with Ukraine because they all back Ukraine. And that's just the perfect Star Wars story. You got little Zelensky, you know, he's the great hero, played the president on TV, and it's the most corrupt country in Europe. But, you know, they're the heroes. They're the Jedis. They're the real fighters. It's all the Ukraine war is just a complete sham. You look into that since 2014, they've been bombing those people in the Donbass. But anyway, getting back to Israel, we're ceding ground here to the left for absolutely no reason. This is giving them something moral to run on, because all their moral crap, all their moral garbage, it's run out. The American public recognize that it's bad. This is just giving them something to run on.
And that's the frustration with Israel, is when it comes to Israel, everybody on the right switches sides. We're the free speech side, except when it comes to Israel. Right. We're the anti-war side, except when it comes to wars for Israel. It's like, why can we not be consistent in this? Because I completely agree. I think it's absolutely ceding ground to the left, and it's proving all of the left stereotypes about the right. Every time Israel comes up, the right wing are bloodthirsty, racist warmongers. And it's like,
right.
Why do we give them all of this?
I agree.
Beyond absurd. Let's go out to the phone calls once again. There's somebody you wanted to go to. Let's go to Bart in Georgia. Bart, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. I know y'all are tired of me talking about this, but let's talk about methylene blue.
I love it.
Buy it before it's banned, because I just found another use for it after the bloody wart it removed my face. I fell down the other day and scraped up my leg, and I added some of the liquid stuff here, the methylene blue, stopped the bleeding, alleviated the pain, and then I put a Band-Aid over it. Now it's healed up on, you know, faster. So they don't buy it before it's banned, y'all.
That's crazy. I love how everybody in the M4's audience just buys methylene blue and just starts doing science experiments.
Well, it's known that it has topical applications to it, right? And you talk about the wart, other people have talked about, you know, like maybe stomach issues here and there, other things. It has antimicrobial properties, but only really to gram-negative bacteria. So only really the bad things involved.
So there you go.
One more thing, y'all. I haven't slept 8 hours without urinating since I was like 20. Here we go.
Wait, and
based,
has it helped?
Yes, sir. Because I used to have to get up and pee like every hour, like several times a night. And then after I started taking this, and I took the X3 before, but this stuff is you know I can go. I don't have to go every 5 minutes. I'm like a 20-year-old as far as my prostate goes. And
there you go.
I know it's not marketed for that, but there you go.
That's awesome. I mean, an interesting point to kind of tag onto that. It's interesting. People look at melatonin and they go, oh, melatonin, it's good for sleep. It helps with deep dreams and stuff like this and sleep cycle and for resetting the sleep cycle. A lot of people don't know this. Melatonin itself is a super antioxidant, and all its metabolites, all the things it breaks up into during the process, they're also super antioxidants as well. So anything that sits in your stomach or your bladder or like your small intestine or large intestine while you sleep, it's been shown to have localized, you know, kind of anti-inflammatory and maybe even prospective anti-cancer benefits. Not making a claim there, but you can look at the research. Melatonin is protective against certain forms of bladder cancer. So anything that would sit in your stomach or sit in those areas while you sleep and kind of build up there, it's been shown to have good effects with other metabolic compounds.
So there you go. Just general body regulation being improved. Again, we're not doctors, not making any claims.
No, but you can look at the studies. This is true about melatonin. Melatonin is protective against certain forms of cancer. I mean, in Parkinson's patients, here's an interesting little factoid for people. I'm not recommending this. You can buy them on Amazon, though. You can take a 300 milligram melatonin suppository. They do this. I promise. This is in the medical literature. So it's pretty crazy what's available and what's out there. Not recommending that, but people do take it for that purpose.
Very interesting. Thank you for the call, Bart. Let's go to we'll go to Aaron from Braintree Studios. Of course, very talented 3D printer and craftsman. Aaron, thanks for calling in.
Hey, first time to the war room, so that's pretty cool.
Welcome.
I want to say, like, since I've been with InfoWars for a while, my favorite portions back in the day on YouTube was, like, the Doctor Group segment. So,
oh, yeah.
Rex, you're the new Doctor Group.
There you go.
With all this. But I definitely had some concerns with the InfoWars, like, on the outs, like, with my family and stuff, we use, like, PainMD, and my mom swears by that. I got Hashimoto's from COVID, so I use the fish oil and the BioTrue Selenium. So, like, is there any plans to push that to the Alex Jones store at all?
You know, it's interesting. I work with Bigley some. We come out with some formulas. A lot of those formulas that are available on InfoWars store, I'm sure eventually, you know, as time goes by, I'm sure we'll come out with new, perhaps even better versions of those products. Of course, they're going to have to be renamed, but like those are phenomenal products. Our fish oil, when you take it, a fish oil, especially for like cognitive benefits, anti-anxiety, anti-depression benefits, there's a lot of literature on the anti-depression benefits of taking fish oil. That's not a health claim. That's just a fact. You can look at the studies. Look at the research. You want to take a high quality, non-oxidized, EPA dominant blend of fish oil, and that's what has been sold traditionally on the InfoWarsStore.com. So, you know, we get a lot of love for all the different products, but specifically for that fish oil, there's a lot of love for that product. And I think we're going to bring some of those products back soon in the future.
I use it for like the triglycerides through the liver, so it's been amazing. And I don't have to worry about, like, you know, if there's fillers in it or anything like that. So
right.
It's like you guys and Dr. Berg. That's about it.
That's awesome, man. That's phenomenal to hear. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm really proud of the Alex Jones store. You know, when Bigley came in at first, I didn't really know what to think of it, but I saw the products they came out with, and they're willing to work with me, and I really got to have fun with them, and I got to bring some cool things to market, like methyl drive and power plant specifically, I'm very proud of. You know, it's been a blast to get to work with Bigley. They work with some of the best supplement manufacturers in the country, and what I've been able to do with them is I've really been able to come out with a lot of these new blends that really are effective for people and have efficacious doses without the blend, without the fillers, without kind of, you know, lower quality mixtures you're used to getting at certain places. It's been really incredible to work with Bigley. I know we need to bring Super Male Vitality back for sure.
Hey, speaking of that, thank you for the call, Aaron, but I had this article, and this, I think, goes to show why people might be confused. We talk about politics, and then suddenly we shift gears to health, but they're all a part of the same,
right,
same thing happening here. So this from Daily Mail, published yesterday. American men suddenly have devastatingly low sperm count. Experts know why. I mean, these statistics are legitimately terrifying. Today, the average teenager in this country has 50% of the sperm count, 50% of the testosterone as a 65-year-old man should have. It's just crazy. And, of course, this is RFK Jr. It says, he also said this in the Oval Office on Thursday, our girls are hitting puberty 6 years earlier, and that's bad, but also our parents aren't having children. So, I mean, the health aspect of InfoWars is intimately tied in to the overall plot of the globalists to enslave slash and or kill us all. It's just one of the aspects that they're attacking, the general health of the American people, because you want a target that is weak and demoralized and fat and lazy. And so they're making us that.
Right. I mean, isn't it nice to take your big gulp and the styrofoam cup and put it in the microwave, you know, just for like 10, 12 seconds. Just make sure, you know, it's warm and juicy in there. And you get those little, you know, particulate plastic styrofoam matter. You might not know what it is, but it tastes so delicious, guys. Yeah. Just do that. Get your big gulp and put it in. Don't do that. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't give that advice.
Get your BPA plastic, a cheese grater.
That's a phenomenal idea. Yeah. You take the plastic wrap that the food is in, you just grated over your food. It's like an added topping you get for free.
You know, the weird thing is, everything about them is weird, but transgender people really do. They will try to make, like homebrew estrogen mimickers by like boiling down plastic bags and drinking it. It's disgusting, but that's how powerful this stuff is.
Isn't there like a black guy who like makes fuel that way? Like the pyrolysis machine?
Have you seen
that? I like that guy. I like his videos, but
yeah.
You know, all kinds of cool things you can do with plastic, folks. We got a lot of it. We're making more of it every day.
You just don't want to be breathing it in or eating it or having it soak in through your skin. And,
yummy plastic particles. Put them in my belly, please. Yummy plastic particles. I need them in you do, please. I'm going to sing a little song about that, folks. Really quick, just a quick anecdote. I'm going to be live with Alex Stein on Wednesday on primetime in Dallas. We're going to have a fun time on the Blaze.
No way. That's super fun.
Yeah, there he is.
He's the best.
He's a cool guy. I like his videos.
Yeah. So, I mean, but again, it's like, it's not a coincidence that testosterone is down by more than half. It's not a coincidence that sperm count is collapsing. It's all perfectly in line with desires of those in power to, you know, decrease our vitality and make us easier to conquer. I mean, it's
right. And they hate on us for selling things that increase your vitality. I mean, come on, guys, get products at the alexjonesstore.com. Get Power Plant, get Methyl Drive, get Ultimate Life Force, get Methylene Blue, get Shilajit. Why not do it? It supports the show. And if you like the show, buy the products, right? And they're good for you. It's not like we're selling something that's bad for you or even mediocre for you. All these products are incredible. I mean, that bovine colostrum, my grandma swears by it. Her hair's gotten like twice as thick.
That's amazing. I need to try that. I haven't tried the colostrum yet. That's next on my list. Although I have been taking the Power Drive combo.
I like the ad with the blue tongue. I like that. Can we get that back on screen just for a little second? I mean, guys, we like to have fun here. Okay. And like a lot of these other places, they read a code for something they're not invested in. They don't even know anything about it. We're selling products to you guys that we take ourselves. And you know, it's fun for me. I get to work with Bigly. I get to invent new things that I also get to take myself. Like look at that. Look how much fun that is, guys. That's fun. That is fun, guys. And we're having a little fun here. We're enjoying our time on this earth, on this planet. Praise God. Praise Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is so fun to be able to deliver these high-quality products and nutraceuticals to you.
And that's health advice, too. I had somebody recently who was shocked that I'm 35 years old. He said, how are you 35? And I said, you just got to not take everything so seriously.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe I take things too seriously. Yeah, I've become unk, unfortunately. Unk maxing at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tony, the best thing for your life is to laugh a lot and not take everything so seriously. Let's go to JD in Indiana. He's talking about the No Kings parade they had across the country. Go ahead, JD, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's JT. Thank you, Harrison.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm calling you from Indiana. Actually, you know, Indiana is not so much different than Texas, being a Republican state, and just like Austin is all blue, you know, Bloomington, Indianapolis, Terre Haute, Indiana, which is where this incident happened. And you can have your crew look it up. You don't have to take my word on it, but they're Channel 2 there in Terre Haute, Indiana. Their website is mywabashvalley.com. They had a No Kings protest on October the 18th. And during the protest, they had a local area that is owned by the county, the property, which actually was the Old County Jail. They had done some demolition and done some groundwork there. And people that were protesting parked on that lot and done a bunch of damage. And the county, you know, is really upset with them because, you know, they done thousands of dollars worth of damage. So in a roundabout way, you know, their blue area, you know, they kind of stepped on their own toes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they're on TV. They're wanting to, whoever had this up, this protest, they're wanting them to pay for all the damages. And I don't blame them.
Wow, it's no kings, no accountability, no respect for property. There's a lot of things that they're against.
It's called being loving and liberal.
Yeah, yeah. You should be thanking them. You should be thanking them for the privilege of cleaning up after them. You know, without them, you'd be in a concentration camp. So really, you know, it's the least you can do is clean up after them, JT.
Like I said, their website is mywabashvalley.com. And if InfoWars wants to make him famous, that'd be great, you know. And Harrison, hey, I got an idea for you. I don't know if you'd be into it or not, but Joe Allen, who wrote the book Dark Ion, he's on Steve Bannon on the War Room on Steve Bannon quite often. He does the transhumanism about the AI. He's really good. He'd be a good person to have on your show sometime.
What's his name again?
It's a big guest.
Joe Allen. All right. Well,
Allen. He's got the book Dark Ion.
Dark Ion.
And listen, while I got you online, hey, I've been a listener to Alex Jones from the beginning, from the old satellite days. I don't call in all the time. Rex, your dad is very proud of you, and your dad is awesome, by the way. And you do
a great job
with all the supplements.
Thank you.
And we are an affiliate and a VIP member. We sell a lot of them, and you know the nitric boost would be a good one too to move
100%. That's a great point. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for being a VIP member. We really appreciate everyone that's a VIP member, guys. It's an easy thing to do, and you get access to great products at great discounts. You get in-store credit to use. I mean, thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you very much, JT. We got time for just one more quick call. Let's go to Van in Arizona. Van, if you can keep it short, I'm trying to go out of the show with a little video before we go. So we got about a minute left. Van, you're on the air.
Well, I was going to go ahead and do an Alex impression, but Rex, just want to say you're a good man. Thank you for everything you're doing on that show, Rex. You're great. The Next Generation, right? On the reel. No, just sitting here trimming some weed, listening to you guys. Just want to say thank you, guys. Been a longtime listener since, you know, there was a time where there was a school where kids were walking around in circles.
I've never heard of that, Van. I have no idea what you're talking about. How dare you?
No, I know. Okay. No, but seriously, I got amplified into politics because of the Bundy Ranch. I live in Arizona.
Yeah, deep cut.
That stuff fired me up just because, you know, you own yourself, you own your property, you think, and the government showed me then that we don't own our land, and
what a great comparison! What a great, you know, way to cap off the end of the show. Since we started talking about No Kings protests and the absurdity there, when you've got something like Bundy Ranch that showed people really standing up against government overreach, a peaceful movement of armed people ready to throw down, but never had to get to that point. That was a real, you know, act of rebellion. That was a real act of dissonance and, you know, opposition to truly tyrannical measures. Rex Jones, thank you so much for being with us. Follow
you,
Rex
Harrison.
At Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. Follow, what is Gray Zone?
The Gray Area.
The
on
Gray
Twitter.
Area.
Follow us there. Really appreciate it. And you know what, guys? If you want to, go to JonesCBD.com. Really
JonesCBD.com. I'm going to have to save the video for tomorrow, but go follow Wars of the Info. He just came out with a great music video.
What a great
video.
Guy, that guy.
Yeah, we'll go through it tomorrow. Thanks for being with us, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing
something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day.
Right.
And pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!